Welcome back to another edition of News from the Front, the podcast by gamers for gamers that features Flames of War, board games, war games, RPGs, SPGs, BFGs, history, books, movies, sci-fi, fantasy, miniatures, paint, and anything that requires a very tiny brush, but mostly Flames of War. We are broadcasting to you today live from Historicon in the Valley Forge Convention Center in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And now the host of News from the Front and founder of the What Would Patton Do International Network, the man who puts the horny in hornies, making history at Historicon, Steve McLaughlin!
All right!
Yes, we are
the real deal, man.
We are here.
This is live. Screw ups and everything.
That's
man.
Right.
No edits.
That's right. No edits.
Nothing getting fixed
no
in the edit.
No 32 takes on the intro.
What? Hey, thank you guys, everyone, for coming out. It's really cool. It's nice to see a lot of familiar faces. We've all had absolutely phenomenal time. Man, I don't even know where to start, man. We got all kinds of stuff. We got shout-outs. Where do you want to start, man? You pick.
I think we're going to start with a little bit about what we did this time
Let's
at
do that.
Historicon.
Let's do that. All right, so joining me, as always, is Luke Melia, the man, the legend.
Hello, hello.
You guys can call him the Hedgehog.
The Hedgehog. Mr. Jeremy, if you please.
Okay. And this man right here, he is the chairman and lone member of the Committee of Getting Shit Done. This is Mr. Sean O'Hara.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. And plenty of other guys out there helping us out. All you guys who joined us, we appreciate it. We'll do some shout-outs in a little bit, make sure everyone gets recognized.
Everybody having a good time?
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Terrific.
Word.
Historicon.
Right.
I've had a great time. I got a chance to play I got a chance to play the tournament on Thursday. I did not play nationals, and got a chance to be humbled on Thursday. Got a chance to play Mr. Billy.
Wait. Was there an armored regiment involved?
It was my armored regiment. Involved.
That's
yes,
right.
And I got
right.
heartily handled by Mr. Wilcox, who was happy to give me an education in how not to play a British armored regiment. So now that I know that, I feel a little bit more comfortable.
All right.
Got a
enough.
Chance to play a lot of games, and Alexander's going to come up here in a few minutes and talk about some of the games that we got a chance to play. We've got a chance to do some stuff in the flea market.
Nice.
A lot of cool stuff I got to see this time.
Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff. I mean, I was tied up with National, so I've seen you for like 10 minutes.
I know.
That's why we just spent a few minutes outside just hugging, cuddling. Yeah. It's been too long.
Exactly.
Kissing.
Right?
Yeah. What? No? No.
Don't make fun of man love.
But yeah, I mean, you know, Nationals, you know, the 2 days full of tournaments. Some of you guys were there. It's like you kind of miss out on the rest of the con, which, you know, it's a great tournament. But, man, at the end of the day, it's like, God, this is almost like work, man. I'm tired. But so last time around, we got to hang out and just kind of did nothing but, you know, hang out. Didn't even really play any games at Cold Wars.
Nah.
So it's kind of a different experience for me. What you been up to, Sean?
Oh, man, running around. Pretty much enjoying the hotel. Less games, less tournaments, more been in the dealer hall, been in the flea market. Luke and I were there.
Yeah,
and then
it was a good time.
Walking around looking for deals, greasing the wheels of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hit up the pool today, though. That was pretty nice. It was pretty solid.
You get my son upset because we've tried to go to the pool twice. It's been raining. Got closed on us once. It's been tough.
It's honestly just walking around talking to everybody has been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I've discovered a lot of things at a store con I haven't seen before.
Like the jungle room?
Yeah. Have you guys seen that on Facebook, on our Facebook site, the jungle room?
Anyone seen the video of the jungle room?
The jungle fantasy suite.
Yeah.
How are the mirrors?
Pretty good. So we actually got a tour of the what is it?
Leather and lace.
Leather and lace. Yeah, that's what these guys are staying in. It makes our room. Yeah. The leather and lace room makes our room look totally tame. I mean, there were literally bloody fingerprints on the wall. I don't know.
And at first we weren't getting it because Dano was explaining it. And through his accent, I couldn't exactly understand. He was like, there were these baths.
Yeah, the baths.
These baths.
What? What are you talking about?
Are they columns? No, I mean, they're bars. Like,
the
no,
baths.
Like prison bars.
Did you guys pay the upgrade for the donkey? Okay. All right. Let's move on. Let's get out of that. That's going to go south real quick. All right. So you got a chance to play Nationals.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Nationals.
All right. Well, it was well done. It was really well run. What do you guys think? Everyone who was out there, what do you guys think? Pretty good, huh? Well run. I got pretty stumped. I had 3 wins, 3 losses. Solid games, though. Really good guys. I'll do kind of a full debrief maybe later, maybe like on the drive home or something if you guys want to check that out because no one wants to hear about a blow-by-blow from my turns. And I'm terrible with names. I've already forgotten all my opponent's names and everyone in this room's name. So, matter of fact, I'm just going to leave. No.
This is only like a second beer, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Getting started. No, but I ran the French recon list with lots of panhards. And the boards were pretty good with road, so that was nice. When we played at the Showcase Showdown, some of the boards had like one road or no roads at all. So I was zipping around all over the place. Had a really good game. Chris Hecht cheated me.
Sorry, man.
Nah, it was good. It was good. This guy beat me, man. Beat me. It was messed up. Grab the objective. You got to watch them.
Yep.
I wasn't paying attention.
Sneaky.
Like,
oh, sneaky,
yep,
sneaky.
That's game.
You got to pay attention.
And that's the man. The man speaking right now is the man who taught me about never losing sight of an objective.
Man, yeah. You got to practice what you preach.
That's Eric Turner just walking
in
the room.
Eric Turner.
I got to tell this story. So Eric, step right up here. I'm really jumping out of off our bullet points here.
That's a live show.
We jotted down.
Yeah.
So
live.
Eric, step right up to the mic, brother. I'm putting you on the spot, calling you out right now.
Oh man.
So we've made fun of Eric a couple times. Eric did not get a chance to register for nationals, but at the last second was able to enter in, and he got to play
armored rifles.
British Armor Regiment. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, how did you do, Eric?
Did pretty good. More victories than losses. One tie.
Yep.
Big 6-1, 6-1, 3-4, 3-4, and then a 1-1. You can't.
Oh, there's nothing better than a 1-1.
Nice.
Wow. You can't do a thing when a guy turtles up on you.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Man, I hate turtling.
Is anything what? Like noodling? I mean, come on.
All right, go get your beer and sit down.
Right.
He does great with other people's armies, though.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. That man's run S. McLaughlin's Germans plenty of times.
No, on that note, who taught who about their
armies? All right. Sit down.
Okay.
Get this guy out of here.
Okay, so we got a little bit of housekeeping, some things we're going to get going here, and then in just a couple minutes we're going to bring my son up, Alexander. He got a chance to come to his first convention, and then we're going to have Mr. Peter Cousins, a very, very well-known author. He's written many best-selling books, and he's got some an expert on Civil War and Civil War history and the American Indian Wars. So yes, we're branching out a little bit from World War II, but we thought this would be a great opportunity to expand our horizons.
That's what you do at a con.
That's how we do it. That's right. You get to see stuff you don't normally play.
That's true. I'll tell you what, before we move on, you mind if I just quickly read out the awards from Nationals?
I would love you to read
it. I want you guys to hear it here first, anyone that wasn't down there. All right, so I'm just going to quickly go through these. This is Player's Choice. That was James Huff. Player's Choice was sort of the best painted by voting from the players. It wasn't like an impartial choice. It was the players. He was running the British Armored Regiment. If any of you guys got a chance to see it.
Did he have the beret?
He was rocking the beret.
He got my unofficial vote.
It looked really nice.
Yeah, he was
really
was
nice.
Awesome.
Bruce, are you in here? Bruce Oberst? I thought I saw him. There you go, man. So this guy won Best Painted Army. Completely deserved it. It was a gorgeous Kradschützen. That's that right?
Yeah, there it is. Every episode, we are guaranteed, the one guarantee we can make, we will butcher at least one.
That's what we do. We butcher words.
Every
and
time.
Best opponent, man, Sean Morris, right back there, buddy, all the way from Canada.
That's what he's all about.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Don't talk
about it. Should we chain it to the bass? All right. I love you, Dana. All right, and then after that, they gave the award for the best generals within each nationality. So they had the best British was Eric Lauterbach. I don't think he's quite here yet. He was running British Armored. Best French was Richard Thomas. He was running a similar list to mine. It was Panhard Swarm, basically. Best German was my boy Chris Hecht right here. Yeah, this
Woo!
Is
him. There he is. Thank you.
Yep. And the best Poles were Joe Biasco. He was running Polish Rifles. He's a great guy if any of you guys ever get a chance to play him. Cool dude. Third overall was Joe Moore, rocking the British Armored Regiment.
Oh, nice.
Second overall was Bill Wilcox, rocking German Czech Panzers.
Right on.
And then they, you know, to add suspense, we don't get the best overall just yet. Best Army was James Huff, the British Armored Regiment. And I'm not sure how that differs from Player's Choice, except that I think it has judging added into it, the you know, impartial judge. Best sportsmanship was Jeff Nez, and man, nobody deserves that better.
Jeff Nez.
Sean and I hung out with him Friday night.
We did.
He's a cool
guy. We got pizza.
We had a blast. That guy is a cool dude.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude.
Best general was John Desch, rocking the British Armored Regiment. He had the highest amount of victory points. And best overall was Ed Leland, rocking, you guessed it, the British Armored Regiment. Now, I just want to say, those are all great guys and great players, but did I not call the British Armored Regiment?
Yep.
I called it. I called it, you cheesy bastard.
Just for the record, before anybody was even playing that. that we came up with that stuff.
That's so, true. We were like, look at their blitzkrieg. Like, oh, this is going to own.
Yep, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, but it has no HE. So what, it has 35 tanks. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on from that. So great time, great event. Really special shout out to the Flames of War guys. They've really stepped it up. Great terrain, great presence. The I-95 guys helped out with some of the tables, so awesome to them. And the awards are great too, man. Really cool plaques. I mean, they've really stepped it up. So special shout out to them. They're going to be joining us later, so you guys can thank them yourselves.
Terrific.
All right, let's move on.
All right, so we got a little bit of housekeeping going on. And just a couple things that we want to let everybody know.
If housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
We're
doing the dishes.
You want mint on pillow?
Mint? Couple
Can
things.
Can we do that?
As you know, we have some things over here that we are giving away as raffle prizes this time.
Yes.
And they're kind of big prizes.
They're huge prizes.
And we're going to do some shout-outs on the people who help provide these things in just a couple minutes. But if you have not already signed up, you don't need to get up right now. What you can do, we're going to take a break in just a couple minutes. You sign up on one of those blue cards. We need your name. And we need your full name, and we need your email address so we can sell it. And then,
it's true.
And then you put it in the box. If you are not here at the end of the show and we draw your name, it's a must be present to win.
Mm. And nobody, then nobody gets it, by the way.
Right.
If they're not present, we take it home.
We smash it and we burn it.
No.
That's it.
No, it goes.
It goes to your house.
All right. So, and again, please, if you just walked in, please make sure your cell phone is on silent. And we are going to be taking a couple breaks throughout. And, you know, get a chance, come up and grab a beer if you like. And I don't think there's anything else, really.
That's right. There's a lot of beer over there, guys.
Yeah.
We need help.
And there's a there you go.
That's right.
But please, one thing you guys can do, especially after our experience at Cold Wars, please try to make them into the trash can when you're done.
Yeah.
All right? I can't believe
I'm
saying
beat up.
That.
I know. Yep. You guys are adults, damn it.
All right. And we just want to thank, and also we got to take a second here. We got to thank everybody who's downloaded the After Hours show. Does anybody listen to that? Anybody like that?
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody does.
Okay, just for the record, you cannot raise your hand because nobody can see you do that. So does anybody here listen to After Hours, downloaded After Hours?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, we really appreciate everybody who's done that. As you know, it's a dollar to download. You can go to our site at www. What would Patton do?
How many W's?
.net. www.
W3.
It's 17 W's. What would Patton do? .net.
Right.
.com.org.
Yep.
Yeah.
/Luke.
/Luke.
/hedgehog.org.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And yeah, but we really do appreciate it, guys. It's really been awesome. Just appreciate the support. It helps us do things like buy all this beer. Yeah.
And our after-hours party tonight will be in the Leather Lace Room, just to let you know. So, all right.
With the Baz.
So, we have some shout-outs, and we got to take a second. We really need to start off and thank some people. I'm going to take just a second and thank a couple people, and then Sean and Steve are going to mention some folks. And I want to, first of all, thank HMGS.
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you're
I know
here.
A lot of confusion with the moves and stuff, and everybody's, you know, known about the different things that are going on. But Bob Giglio, who is now not going to be the convention director of StoreCon, put on a great show. He's really done a lot to help us get up here and do this, and we like being able to do this, you know, in front of everybody and get a chance to participate with this. And they just put on a great show overall. And the other people that I want to thank, and I would never have known about this if I hadn't brought my son, special thanks to the Hawks Gaming Group. And if you guys don't know about them and you have kids, it's just amazing. I watched a guy today put on three games for kids who were probably 10 years old and younger. Eight kids sitting at a table. He did this three times, he did it two times, 4 hours each, games. That's 8 hours with 16 different, you know, under 10-year-olds. And let me tell you something. I'm, you know, Cub Scout leader. I got to take all day preparing on Monday for an hour and a half with those people. And then I got to take the rest of the night to recover from it. You know, so them doing it all day long is absolutely phenomenal. And it's just amazing that they run constant games for that. And if you get a chance, you can bring your kids to that. It's fantastic. Pete, Steve, you got a Pete? Sorry.
Shout out to Pete, buddy. Pete's keeping it real here.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I talked to Dirty John on the phone a while ago, and his connector flight's been delayed. I was like, well, dude, you're in Newark. This was like 3 hours ago. I was like, you could make it.
And oh, man, he should. Yeah. What if he comes in the door, man? That'd be great.
Then his wife would murder him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I got a couple of shout-outs real quick. Battlefront, like I already said, specifically Joe, Mark, and Chris. Like, we've had a good time with those guys. They're solid guys, even outside of Battlefront. I mean, just good friends of ours. Oh, shout outs to the guys that drove down, Judson and Dano and what is it, man? Ray? Jay?
No, Jason.
Jason? Jason. I'm sorry, man. Hey, I am terrible, terrible with
that's
names.
Why they Everyone keep me around.
That. That's right. That's why Sean's here. Like he's the you know, sole member of the Getting Shit Done committee. Yeah. So
remember names committee.
That's right. Chris and Rob, it's good to see you guys. Oh man, where's Rob?
No, he's right behind them.
Oh, there you are, dude. Yeah. All right. And you know, everyone else that came out, Andy showed up. He's a good guy.
Yep. Minions of the Monster Master.
Yep, Minions of the Monster Master.
There
he is, right there.
There he is,
right.
Man.
I had a beer with him for Thursday night.
Bought a little 18-year-old bourbon last night. It was quite good in the jungle room. Had a little party in the jungle room.
Yep.
That's right, we did it. Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah, it was tight.
It went there.
That's right.
You guys are so lucky. My son's sitting in the front row. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. So, and Sean and Pete, you guys have been killing it. Sean, man. Sean made this all happen, dudes. I'm just going to say it, man.
No, that's not true.
This man's been the boots on the ground. How about you, man? You got some shout-outs.
Yeah, no, I got shout-outs. I mean, clearly all the same. I mean, it was awesome to hang out with everybody that we just hung out with. Clearly, Battlefront hanging out with Mark and Crone.
Mark is a silly
Mark
guy,
is
man.
A wild dude. they're legit. I like those dudes. Mark's a wild dude. I like him.
You want to tell the story about? No, we can't tell the story about Mark. Let's keep going.
We can't tell that.
That's good stuff.
But a good shout out to Falcon Figures and the Quartermaster. That's Kai Kelly. He donated plenty of stuff. We've checked out his booth. I've bought plenty of fins, so any of the fins you see, like my company commander, they're all mixed in there. It's got great sculpts, goes all through ancient Napoleonics up into World War II and Modern Warfare. So it's excellent. He's got some excellent prizes that we'll go into later, but that's awesome. Right. It was awesome. It's awesome hanging out with him.
Yeah, me and Sean got to get down there and watch some casting, man. We plan to do it. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I'm going to put you to work. You ain't watching.
That's cool, man. Hey, you know?
I'm going to cast around. You'll get more stories from after we cast and perhaps burn ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm probably going to burn myself.
Yeah, dude,
I'm going to be honest.
You definitely are. And again, HMGS, there was a few people I dealt specifically with, Dana and John, and they helped acquire all the equipment in this room, so special shout-out to them.
I mean, they really went above and beyond for us this time.
They really
did.
I mean, they called me tons of times to work anything out that we needed, so special thanks to them. Right. And we got MG42 here.
MG42. Yes.
Everybody should MG42 know.
Represent.
All right, I got to say something. I saw a AOP today that I just I said, do you have one left? I need to buy it because I missed it. I missed it earlier in the flea market, but you've got to see this. It's going to be ridiculous. So, yeah, you guys, just outstanding job. And these wonderful prizes up here. Brian, our Brian, eats ants, Fuller's. he painted the
man does eat ants. That's not
he
a joke.
He does eat ants. He's not afraid to eat an ant. I'll tell you that right now.
Nope.
He will eat an ant.
With nonchalance.
and the monastery over there, and those are Mark IVs, right?
Mark IVs.
Mark IVs. Awesome. Awesome paint job. Yeah, they're fantastic.
We got to get a pic in the monastery just so we can show people what they missed. I think
we posted a picture on the
man.
Blog.
Chris Hector is already on it. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Right.
There you go, man.
All right. All right. So,
we're
going to take a second up here. Are you stuffed from pizza now? Yeah. All right, put your plate down. Come up here. We're going to talk to Alexander for just a second.
Right. Sean, thank you,
Mr.
man. We'll get you back
on.
Big Sean.
All
right.
Okay. All right, so one of the things we've been talking about with HMGS and the conventions that they're very kid-friendly and very family-friendly. So we're just going to take 1 second here, and because I have the power, we're going to have my son on for just a second. So, Alexander, tell us about some of the things we did.
We played some pirate games, Lego Pirates.
Okay. What else we did?
We played a Star Wars fleet game.
Yep. And then we played what else?
And also speeder bikes.
Right. Speeder bike races.
Yeah. Me and Sean saw that. It looked awesome.
It was
like
a lot of fun.
Speeder bike race.
It was a lot of fun.
Board.
Until I died.
That was really cool. Okay. And Alexander, also, let me tell you how cool. A lot of people, you know, I talked to three different people in this convention about, they said, I like Flames of War, but I don't play tournaments because I don't like the tournament thing. And we've already talked about that to death. But one thing that I want to say is, my son rolled dice for me in the tournaments. And I'll tell you something, you know, nobody somebody did complain when he rolled 3 sixes to beat all the numbers. But it wasn't really that bad. But he had a piece of advice for me after playing Bill Wilcox. Alexander, you want to tell everybody what that advice was?
To let me help you.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he said. You should let me help you with your strategy, is what he said. And that was pretty tough coming from my 9-year-old son. So, all right, so did you have a good time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you had a good time? You want to come back again?
Yes.
Okay, and you got some really cool stuff. You got some Space Marines and...
Uh-huh.
All right. And what did you like most? What was your most favorite thing at this convention? Lego Pirates? Is that your favorite thing?
Yeah.
I hear that.
Lego Pirates. They rocked. Rocked some Lego Pirates today. It was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Well, thank you for being on, son. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say to everybody, to the millions upon millions of people who listen to our show?
I think it's billions.
Thank you.
All right. That's good enough for me.
All right. So I got to ask you, man, this is the first time you've brought Alexander, right?
It's the first time I brought Alexander to a show.
As an upcoming father, how cool is that? How cool
is that? That is incredible because I was looking into my magic eight ball and seeing the future, and as a lot of I joked around with a few people, but yeah, we got a chance to go to the painting seminar today, and Heather Blush was we couldn't sign up for the kids seminar, and Heather Blush was nice enough to get us set so we could do an individual painting session with Alexander, and I guess about 10 episodes ago, I talked about the fact that he had Space Marines and they were painted every different color you think of. Even watercolors were put on them. I should have brought the figure down here. It's amazing what they did with them. So I am very happy that I have a painting slave in the works, right? Right? We have kids, so they mow the lawn. And for gamers, it's paint our miniatures, right?
Nice.
So we're looking forward to that. And obviously, I can pay him with pizza. So yeah, he's like, yeah, okay. All right, so... awesome time.
When they get older, they want minis.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's
fair
fine.
Enough. Well.
All right, so I'd like to take a second. We're going to introduce our next speaker. His name is Peter Cousins. He is the author of 16 critically acclaimed books on the American Civil War and Indian Wars of the American West. He is also a foreign service officer with the U.S. Department of State. All of Mr. Cousins' books have been selections of the Book of the Month Club, History Book Club, and/or the Military Book Club. Mr. Collins' Terrible Sound, The Battle of Chickamauga, and The Shipwreck of Their Hopes, The Battle of Chattanooga, were both main selections of the History Book Club and were chosen by Civil War Magazine as two of the 100 greatest works ever written on the conflict. The prestigious Easton Press included This Terrible Sound as one of 35 volumes in its Library of the Civil War. So we brought a heavy hitter for you guys tonight, right?
That's right,
so,
man.
Once again, let's hear from Mr. Collins.
Yeah.
All right. So... Mr. Cousins, what do you think of Historicon? Any Civil War games that caught your eye?
One in particular. I don't know if you saw it. It was down on the vendors level. It was the battles for Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that one. Large, everything from Lookout Mountain over to Tunnel Hill, and it struck my eye right off the bat. And I guess I wasn't the only person because apparently it won Best of Show award. The terrain was as good as you could get it. The tactical scenarios were wonderful, and the Confederates lost in a very unusual way. There was no charge at Missionary Ridge by George Thomas, if you know Chattanooga at all. It was ended before that. The people playing William T. Sherman actually did his job for him and attacked the Confederate right with his entire force rather than one brigade at a time piecemeal and managed to beat the Confederates as Sherman should have done.
Oh, okay.
Nothing like rewriting awesome. History.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Do you game much, by the way? Do you play?
Not much. I do a little Napoleonic wargaming
with
my friend Keith Rocco every couple months out at his house. And I'm a relative novice. The first time I played was about 2 months ago. No, sorry, about a year and a half ago now. And I was put in command in a game between the Prussians and the French. I was put in command of the French advance guard, and it lasted about 15 minutes.
Which
is embarrassing for a military historian. But I thought it was just fine to put your artillery up front. And I didn't realize how fast the cavalry can move. And I lost my artillery within two turns, and I was out of the game. And watching the next 5 or 6 hours.
No, who hasn't been there, right?
Yeah,
who hasn't been there? Anybody play Napoleon? Yeah, I've, that's happened to me quite a bit. Right on. All right. So can you tell us a little bit about your latest books and these two books, the Battle of Chattamauga, sorry, and the Shipwreck of the Hopes, the Battle of Chattanooga. Tell us a little bit about those books.
They're actually two of my earlier books. I did a trilogy on the Civil War in the West, on the battles of Stones River, Chickamauga, and Chattanooga. They've been overlooked, strangely enough. You know, Gettysburg's been written to death, but as late as 1990, when I wrote the first of the books, No Better Place to Die, there were no really detailed studies of the battles, down to the regimental level, tactical studies. I found that surprising, obviously, and that drew my interest to the battles. This Terrible Sound in particular, there was no book that really got into the battle in detail, below the division, occasionally a brigade level. As you all probably know, if you've been to the Chickamauga battlefield, unlike Gettysburg, Chickamauga, there were no landmarks to speak of. It was a very confused fight. It was fought in deep forest, a few hard scramble farms here and there. Most of the time, nobody was quite sure what was going on. But it was the second bloodiest battle of the war. And no one had tackled it and tried to understand how it unfolded, again, down to the brigade and regimental level. And so I, out of sheer interest, I felt compelled to take it on. And fortunately, it came out well. Similarly, my book on the battles for Chattanooga, Lookout Mountain, was fairly straightforward. But again, I hate to be repetitive, but no one had analyzed in detail the federal attack up Missionary Ridge, the spontaneous attack of the soldiers of the Army of Cumberland up Missionary Ridge in the face of orders to the contrary by Grant. And every federal regimental commander who was there claimed to be the first one at Missionary Ridge. And there was no real sense of who got there first and how the Confederate lines rolled up. And I put a lot of time and effort into trying to explain exactly what happened.
Why do you think that these battles have been overlooked?
I think in the case of Chickamauga, it was the sheer, not only the size of the battle, but also the confused nature of it. Gettysburg, in a sense, it's fairly easy to do. I mean, there's Cemetery Ridge, there's Culp's Hill. You can see all these terrain features, easy to identify, easy for the commanders to identify. So their reports were generally coherent, and you could easily place the units in the battlefield. Chickamauga wasn't like that.
They started putting up markers and memorials relatively quickly in those areas.
Yeah, Chickamauga was the first battlefield park inaugurated, 1889, 1890. Nonetheless, it was a very confused fight, and I think that caused people to stay away from it. Plus, interest in the Western theater of the Civil War, it tended to develop rather late. I think not until, I think my first three books were some of the earliest to generate interest in the Western theater of the war.
So I think we can go out on a limb and say your favorite period is Civil War, American Indian Wars?
Okay.
Yeah. And if so, going off that, what is it that draws you to that time period specifically?
Yeah, I've been asked that before. I can't really answer any astute sort of way what draws me to the Civil War, any profound way. But I grew up, I was 9 years old, just after the end of the centennial. And of course, you remember there were a lot of toy soldier sets that came out after the centennial. And I got hooked on two things. I got hooked on the Golden Book of the Civil War. If any of you saw that,
I had that.
You know, with the little with the maps that were not typical maps, but the little soldiers, as regiments and brigades. And I also got hooked on the little Airfix HO scale soldiers. So whenever I had 50 cents,
you send them off, send away from them,
cutting grass. I'd go down to the local hobby shop. Yeah. I'd buy a box, and eventually I had maybe 2,000 or 3,000. Civil War soldiers. So I'd sit down in my bedroom with my Golden Book, the maps, and my soldiers, and I'd set up the battles.
So you've been playing war games
and I was
since you were 9 years old, really, right?
I actually rolled dice, no kidding.
That's right.
And it's very simply, there goes six Confederates, bang, bang, bang.
There you go.
And that was me against me.
Right on.
And
did you win?
I won. I always won.
You always win. That's right.
I always won. Never lost. And that's where my interest started. And It So it was as a child, and it's always been there. The Indian Wars came a little later. It came in a more roundabout way. I did a biography of General John Pope, who, of course, best known for being defeated by Lee at the Second Battle of Manassas. But what people don't realize, or most people don't recognize, is that Pope went on to a very successful career on the frontier as a departmental commander in the Indian Wars. In fact, Pope was the one who largely orchestrated the what's called the Red River War that finally subdued the Southern Cheyenne, the Arapaho, the Comanche, the Kiowa. He played a big role in the West. And plus, he was a very humane man. He actually advocated humane treatment of the Indians. He recognized that the whites were generally responsible for precipitating the wars with the Indians. And I found it remarkable that an army general had this sort of sympathy toward the Indians. Then I read more and more and found more and more generals had these feelings.
So you wouldn't get that if you watched any Western movie with the...
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
And that leads me to my next point, why I'm writing my next book. My next book, the working title is The Earth is Weeping, The Indian Wars of the American West. I just signed a contract with Knopf Random House recently to do a narrative history of the Indian Wars from 1866 through 1890. You know, the Indian Wars of popular imagination, the whole gamut, the Apache Wars, the Nez Perce, Northern Plains, Southern Plains, the whole bit. And the odd thing is that there's been no book on this subject as a whole since 1971. The last book by a New York trade publisher on the Indian Wars was D. Brown's Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, which was about as far one side as you could get. I mean, there have been scores of books on Custer. I mean, God only knows how many books on Custer, or on particular battles, particular Indian chiefs, particular tribes, but nothing, no trade publication for general reader to bring it all together and to give meaning to it. And this I hope to accomplish with my next book.
All right. Very cool.
Let me ask you a question here, because we live in Virginia, and we, you know, obviously we're surrounded by Civil War history. What kind of things do you do to uncover all the information that's detailed in your books, and where do you find reference for the great deal of detail that you show in your writings?
Well, Spencer, speaking of Virginia, my wife and I live in Rockville, so we're quite often on the battlefields. I'll take my most recent book, for example, Shenandoah, 1862, Stonewall Jackson's Campaign. When I looked at what was already out there, Robert Tanner's book, Stonewall in the Valley, which you may have read, an excellent read, but it told the story exclusively from the Confederate point of view, using very few manuscripts. I wanted to tell an objective story, bringing in both sides. Only by telling both sides of the story can you tell, really convey the success of a general and just how, you know, how good a job he did. But in that book, as others, I rely, I would say, 80%, maybe even 90% on primary sources to tell a story. And not only printed primary sources, such as published diaries, published memoirs, the official reports of the regimental, brigade, division, corps, and army commanders, although sometimes you put one regimental commander's report, federal commander against the Confederate he opposed, and you really can't tell who won. I mean, a lot of these were very self-serving. And memoirs written after the war, newspaper articles written to hometown papers. So I try to integrate primary sources to tell the story as much as possible in the words of the soldiers who fought the battles, and also to get a more honest appreciation of what happened. I mean, you read a brigade commander's account of particular action, and he comes off sounding like the best thing since sliced bread. Then you go down and you read letters written home or to the newspapers by enlisted men in his brigade, and it tells a very different story from maybe a well-organized retreat. You find out there was an abject rout with no control. So my research is into primary sources, a lot of it unpublished, going to state historical libraries, university archives, really trying to dig these things out, and small town newspapers.
Really?
A lot of these guesses, a source has been overlooked, but it's an extremely valuable source. Almost every Union Regiment had one or at least two guys who were designated as the correspondents, informal correspondents who wrote to the hometown newspapers.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and they were generally pretty honest. They were generally pretty honest. And this is really fresh stuff. I mean, a battle would occur, and maybe 10 days later, bang, you'd have the account in the hometown paper. And so I try to use primary sources that are as fresh as possible. Try to use diaries, letters, these kind of accounts, as opposed to memoirs, because, of course, as we all know, the passage of years, memories become distorted, faded.
They also want their view to they want to be remembered a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. So my books, again, guided by primary sources and particularly by as contemporaneous as possible.
Cool. Very cool. Guys, we don't have too much time left, but any audience questions from you guys? Anyone want to ask Peter a question? Nobody out there?
How long does it usually take to do the research to do a book like that?
Let me repeat that real quick just for the folks listening. We asked, how long does it take to do the research for your books?
Let's take This Terrible Sound, my longest book. It's 670-some pages. I took a year off work from the State Department to do that. It took a year to research and just about a year to write.
Wow.
I've slowed down considerably since then. Yeah. Decided to have a life side writing. My next book, it'll be a three-year project. But in the past, generally, a couple years to research a book and to write it.
Cool.
One comment I want to make, just in terms of wargaming.
Sure,
I mean, I've had a great time here. Really enjoyed a lot of the games.
Good.
One thing I've noticed is kind of the lack of any games in the Indian Wars. I didn't see any little Bighorn war games.
See them once in a while, but yeah, I haven't seen that many. I have seen some. Did you guys see one?
I'll tell you why. Because it's a specific battle, so people aren't going to want to play the same thing.
Right. The thing is, you know, people kind of assume that, well, Little Bighorn was the only pitched battle of the Indian Wars. But there are some others that I think would lend themselves to wargaming. The Battle of the Rosebud, General George Crook, he was commanding one of the three columns that was supposed to take on the Sioux. He had a command of almost 2,000 men. He faced nearly 2,000 warriors, commanded by Crazy Horse. Could have gone either way. Battle like that, I think, would lend itself to wargaming. Or the ending battle of the Nez Perce flight to Canada, Battle of Bear Paw Mountain. So I was a little surprised at that. And I understand the reason why there isn't more of that, but it could be an interesting
cool area. We'll definitely have to check it out. Peter, we want to thank you for joining us. And quickly, we're going to plug a little bit here. You've got some upcoming appearances. Is it the next one in Cincinnati Savoy Roundtable?
Right. And
okay.
That's November 17th, right?
Right. The next real big one on the scale of a Historicon will be in March 2012 out at VMI. It's the conference of the Virginia State Sesquicentennial Committee. Each year they're doing one seminar on the Civil War in Virginia, expecting about 3,000-4,000 people to attend this.
Very cool.
It would be myself, James McPherson, Gary Gallagher, Jeff Ward, a few others. And the subject will be leadership in the Civil War. I'll be speaking about Stonewall Jackson and not in the most favorable terms. This will be at VMI.
Good luck.
Home turf, so I may or may not come out of this one. It could be my final speaking game.
Yeah. We don't want you Yankees speaking down there.
Right.
I will say, if you guys don't know, if you're not from Virginia, and honestly, even where we live, you can drive down just a regular road, and you'll see a sign that says the Battle of such and such was fought here. And sometimes it's the Battle of this corner church. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and it gives a description. But the Civil War is obviously an incredibly fascinating period of history.
Right. And so Peter, thank you so much for joining us, guys. You can check his website out.
And I'm also a real big fan of the World War II and the Eastern Front.
All right.
I enjoyed seeing those.
Well, we'll look forward to a
Soviet Army today. Womp, womp, womp.
And I actually feel sorry for the Germans sometimes. I don't know what
to do. Well, listen, folks, you can go to www.peter.com. Peter Cousins, that's P-E-T-E-R, COZZENS.com. You could also go to the historicon.org website, and you can look at you can look up his name, and it'll give you a link directly to his site. And he's got some great books out there. Please check them out. And write to us and let us know what you think of those books. And thank you very much. Thank you very much, okay. Mr. Collins, for being on the show.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I said, do you want to talk about anything else before break?
Yeah. We're whispering up here.
That's right.
Yeah, anything else we want to cover real quick?
Okay, I don't. Does anybody have anything out there they want to cover before break?
Anybody else want to say anything?
You guys ready to take a break?
Now's your chance. All right, let's take a beer break.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, break.
Minutes.
Thank you.
We'll be back in five. All right, we are officially recording now. We're back.
We are back.
We've got Craig up here opening a delicious bottle. Lock it up, man. You can't leave
Lock
me hanging.
Up.
This right. man, Craig Baxter.
Picture from the front.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to read this and I'm going to turn it around. It's the 2010, would have been a good year, for the Smoked Porter Alaskan Brewing Company. It's a gold medal winner.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do want to give a special shout out to Craig Baxter, who came all the way from Alaska to be here on our live show today.
That's right.
I don't
Just
know if he
for
came
us.
For Historicon, but he came here for our show, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Just for the show.
So.
Fair enough. Hey, Luke, are you gonna eat that pizza, bud? Let me get it. Come here.
Right here? Oh, yeah, thanks, baby. Thanks. Aww. And we're comfortable enough in our sexuality to be
That's
okay
right.
with that.
Jungle room.
Oh,
jungle
yeah.
room, baby.
I've got jungle fever.
I don't know.
I've seen it.
Good stuff.
Whoa.
Right, let me try this
Whoa.
Baby real quick. What is this? Smoked pork?
That's made from real salmon. Holy Christ, that's all you.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's all
Whoa,
you, brother.
Dudes, that is yeah. wild. That tastes like a campfire.
It does. Holy cow.
Yeah, doesn't it? It's like, oh, am I camping?
I just grew like 3,000 more hairs on my chest by drinking that. All right. So, we are joined today by the ever-lovely Heather Blush.
Woo!
All right. Heather is with HMGS. And we are going to start asking her some questions. So, Heather, we're going to start off with what brought you into the wargaming hobby?
I've always studied history and military history. I come from a long line of Army people. There's actually been a McNabb, my maiden name, in the American military service since before the Civil War.
Wow.
My father retired as lieutenant colonel. I have a brother who did two terms in Iraq who is teaching at West Point right now, and I'm a Desert Storm vet. So I've always been involved in military and studying the history of it. And then I met my significant other, and he introduced me to the lovely world of miniature wargaming. And that was about 7 years ago, and I've been here playing hard and heavy ever since.
All right. Right.
Nice.
On. Let's give it up.
Yeah.
Desert Storm vet? Wow. All right.
All right, so that kind of takes away part of my next question, which is
That was my
game,
plan.
But what's your favorite period or genre to play?
World War One would be my main period of interest. And the game that I play most within that era is Trench Wars, which is a skirmish-level World War One game, which is fun.
28mm?
28mm. It's awesome. World War One. Everybody dies, so it's lots of fun.
That sounds like a blast.
Do you blow a whistle before they go over the...
Yeah, sure.
You got to give it a little, you gotta give a little flavor.
There's nothing better than taking a flamethrower to your spouse's troops, you know, when they forget to take the garbage out, let me tell
That's
you.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right,
honey,
pretty
forget
good.
The counseling. Let's go play a game.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what do you do for HMGS?
I serve on the board of directors. I'm just starting my third term on the board of directors for HMGS. 6 years ago, I started the HMGS Paint and Take, and that grew into the HMGS Painting University, which grew into the HMGS Hobby University. So I was looking for a way to help keep newcomers in the hobby interested and excited about what we were doing. It's kind of a tricky hobby to get into because there's so many different parts to it.
Sure.
And the easiest thing for me to break down was the painting part. So we started teaching painting, and then we're now encompassing sculpting lessons, terrain lessons, paper modeling. We do it all. If it's involved in the hobby and we can teach you how to do it, we do.
That's very cool.
What's, you know, First of all, I can't almost contain my excitement because I was talking to Heather before we got rolling, and one of the things I will say is, you know, I'm a tournament player for the most part, and when I'm not playing a tournament, I have specific games I'm always playing, or I've got events that I'm always doing. And honestly, I didn't mean any offense by this, but I've skipped past that every single time. And I got a chance to go down there today, and this is no joke. Did you guys see that setup? It is phenomenal. Yeah. It's not a small little, like, two tables, you know, under a heat lamp. I mean, they've got an incredible array of things, and you've got a lot of sponsors from different vendors who helped out with models. And when she says the paint and take, what exactly does that mean?
Well, the paint, we run two different events. One's a paint and take, where literally you paint and then you take it home with you. We give you a miniature. We have a wide variety of different eras and manufacturers that we have. And a lot of people have been really generous in terms of that. We have paint. You can sit down. You can paint for as long or as little as you like. If you have questions, I have staff members who are wandering around who can demonstrate a technique. Or if you just want to kind of sit and veg and paint, a lot of people kind of do that, I think, in between games just to get a little alone time or painting time, because some people get withdrawal symptoms if they haven't been able to, inhale, smell some paint for a couple of days. We actually have the formal classes where we teach a wide variety of different techniques and skills from beginner level through advanced stuff. We keep growing and changing it as we get requests and as the attendee population progresses in their painting skills. Hmm. We started out kind of small because, like you said, not everybody is really fully aware of what it is we're doing. But I'm pleased to say that by the metrics that I keep, we have a solid 10% of the convention attendees consistently through all three HMGS conventions.
And that we're looking at like anywhere between 300 to 500 people at that point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Every convention are through the painting events, which makes us the single largest event of the HMGS conventions.
Except for the WWP podcast.
Right. Well, hundreds of people in this coliseum.
You can hear the echo in this room.
Do you find a lot of the same people coming back?
We do have a lot of the same people, and I now absolutely have people who are coming to the convention with the sole intent to take painting classes. I had someone who traveled out from Seattle, Washington, and he came up and he was like, I just wanted to shake your hand because this is really cool. I can get a game anywhere at home. I can't get this.
I got to throw in something here, especially for most of this room is people who play World War II types of games, something, right? Mostly Flames of War. I hate painting, and I've never made that any beef about that. I watched the tank painting seminar today. And I looked down, I was like, God. And what they did tracks. It looked like a makeup case that the girl had. But they did the tracks. And I don't know how long it took you guys to do the last set of tracks you did on a Tiger tank. But I can tell you that these guys, it took them about 45 seconds. And they looked just as good as anything you've seen. It was amazing. I mean, these guys, you had people who'd never painted a 15-millimeter figure before. And they made some great-looking stuff, better than I paint. I mean, it was amazing. And then even I said earlier, you know, Alexander, who up until, a couple months ago when he painted, he was using just blobbing stuff on. And I couldn't believe the way he painted. Pete even commented that when he was his age, he started. But it was years before he got to the level that young lady spent with him. I can't remember her name.
Larissa.
Giving her a big shout out, Larissa. Giving her a big shout out. Thank you.
Yeah.
Took my son and worked with him. And then before he knew it, he was doing it. And then my son sat there and did it, and he was quiet for almost an hour.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and if you have kids, that in itself is deserving of some kind of HMGS medal, I can tell you that.
Well, I had a lot of students in the very beginning who would be like, I got really excited. I came to my first convention. I really, really loved it. I went. I bought a whole bunch of stuff, and then I kind of went, ugh. And I had this army. I spent $200 on it, and it's primer. That's as far as I got. And by the next convention, they were bringing me back completely painted awesome. Armies, and they were extremely pleased and a lot less frustrated. Cool. And we've had kids. We've been doing it for 6 years. We've had kids who couldn't see over the top of the table who are now, you know, taller than I am and painting really well. So it's awesome. It's always exciting to see those people, well, you know, get those people
that
going.
That excitement shows through because I watched you giving a class today, and you were talking, and you could definitely see the passion, enthusiasm, and the people really responded to that. It seems like a lot of fun, and I'm calling it right now. At Fall In, I'm going to take time and at least hit one of those. Well, I need to. I don't think I have a choice. My friends are going to make me go. I don't have a
Yeah, that is true.
So they're tired of that. But we are going to initiate a new event with a new event, and I'm going to donate the figures for this, which is going to be paint and put on Luke's bases at the next HMGS
sounds
convention.
Good.
So
sounds fun.
All right.
Cool.
So
in addition to the painting, you've started an all ladies gaming group that we ran into at Cold Wars. Me and Sean kind of ran. Like, what's this? This looks awesome. I want to play. It was like space pirates, air pirates.
It was just a pirates game.
Okay.
Several of the HMGS ladies, myself, Michelle Preziosa, who's also on the board of directors, mm-hmm. and Kristen Schooley, who is one of the awards committee leader, we're pretty active in the hobby, and it's always nice because we try to be role models for when I first started coming to conventions, there'd be a couple of ladies around, and a lot of times they were knitting in the corner. Mm-hmm. They weren't necessarily gaming. And we certainly have a lot more ladies gaming now than we used to, but not as many as we would like to see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to ignore 50% of your potential gaming crowd. Sure. Everybody's concerned about the graying of the hobby, so get everybody involved. Make it a family thing. So we started this ladies. We had this idea that we wanted to do. It took us a little while to get it together. Cold Wars, we were finally able to kick it off. So we hosted an all-ladies gaming night. Mr. Brian Whitaker, who's an award-winning game master, and who's part of my outreach committee, came and put on this beautiful, you saw the terrain, it was absolutely wonderful, pirate game. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think, 28 ladies
wow.
gaming.
Holy cow.
But you had people fit in the part. I mean, people were dressed like pirates and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
did you say
we
ARG?
Were. I'm sorry?
Did you say ARG?
Yeah.
No. It's not a
we
pirate game unless you say ARG.
We said ARG.
Actually, ARG.
And
right.
we might have had a little rum. And
I love the plausible deniability. That
yeah. So, but, and we had at least. I want to say 11 of the ladies who joined us that night had never gamed before.
Awesome.
They'd come attended with their husbands for many years even, and just a lot of spouses don't have the patience to really sit and explain it to their sure. to their wives. It's not necessarily a good fit. But
wargaming widows.
Yeah, we were non-threatening.
With those numbers, you're not counting Steve and Sean. With
no.
I'm
no.
saying we're dressing okay, up like ladies them. Next time.
I am not. I'm
we're
not counting. I'm not counting any
fun.
Of the innocent bystanders that we might have heckled because of the rum we might have drank it.
All right. It looks
consumed.
Like
all right,
may
we've
or
got
may
an
not.
Audience question here, and we like this guy enough to let him speak.
Okay.
So.
It's probably not going to pick up. It's not really actually. Sorry, it's not a question. It's more of a statement to say that it was a neat event. I went up and saw the event because I talked to my sister into playing. She said she didn't always know what was going on, but she had a heck of a good time doing it.
Nice. All right, that was Matt. He said said his sister went and didn't know necessarily what she was doing, but had a great time. So there's a.
Yeah, and we did have a lot of people come by and, you know, just going to check it out because we were having a good time. It was a lot of fun. My 11-year-old daughter was in there playing. My 14-year-old daughter was in there playing. So we
were
all
down there helping you with the in the painting somewhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. My 14-year-old teaches painting classes.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Yeah, they've been painting since they were pretty little, so they're pretty good at it.
How many armies do you have painted?
How many armies do I have painted? 7.
Painting slaves, I'm telling you, it's the way to go, folks. Have more kids, teach them how to paint. That's the plan.
I'm on. I bought in.
Steve's going to find out whether he's got a boy or a girl this week, by the way.
That's right.
Woohoo.
Five days. Thank you, guys. Pretty exciting times.
So, do you have anything else you want to put out there? What are we looking forward to coming up? We got Fall In coming up here. Not really right around the corner, about 3-4 months here. So.
We immediately, after Historicon ends, we immediately roll into prep for the next convention. My crew, I've got a fabulous crew that I've recruited who teach the classes for me, and we just immediately start prepping for Fallen. And we do, because Fallen is a quieter sort of convention, we do try to offer a more variety. It's sort of our test market for certain classes to see how they go and see how people are interested in them. We're always looking for new teachers. We're always looking for new ideas for classes that people might be interested in. We've been really fortunate that people, like as you said, for the tank class, Battlefront donates those tanks for us, so we're able to give somebody a 15-millimeter tank to paint.
Give it up to Battlefront again, yeah. Everybody. Oh, thank you, Battlefront Miniatures.
Those guys support the community like no one. What?
So it's nice to be able to offer somebody a 15-millimeter tank that they can paint and take it home with them. And we do that at every convention. Right now, my team is downstairs running something that we call the Iron Paintbrush. It is a painting competition like no other. It's a team event. Three people to a team, and we give you a mystery bag of bits. It's part speed painting, part bit bashing, and then we make it even more challenging because, like the Iron Chef, we give you random elements which you must incorporate. We actually roll dice to choose things. So
that's
there's
awesome.
Teams of people downstairs who have to paint something that has magenta in it, and it has to have stars and
that's
snow.
Awesome.
And the theme that their little mini diorama that they're building toward, the theme, again, this is a random dice roll, but it hurts when I pee is the theme that they're working on. So,
all right.
For those of you who had that, you can sympathize
like that.
With that one, huh?
But that's a really good time. It's also audience participation. So we have hecklers on duty to heckle
nice.
The painters as they're going.
I'm volunteering for that.
That's
right.
Awesome.
Here.
All right.
As a matter of fact,
we'll
be happy. We're like the two old men in the Muppet show. Sitting
in the balcony there.
And then, as always, we always run a painting competition. So, and the way we run our painting competition, you're judged against yourself, and you're painting towards a standard. So
I always beat myself, so that's...
Well, we have a standard. We have a system. We add
you
up
do.
Your points, and you're either a bronze-level painter or a silver-level painter or a gold-level painter. So there could be 2 gold medals awarded and 6 silver medals awarded, depending on what level you've painted toward.
I'll do that if you have a 10 award.
Yeah.
Perhaps an aluminum.
Well, okay.
All right,
maybe we'll add one of those for
I'm
you.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now. I'm
okay.
going to ask you... And I'm jumping off the boss's notes.
You're off
here.
The rails.
I am. Here I go. This is where we fly. This is where we fly. So, would you be willing to put on a WWPD tank painting class at Fallen?
Absolutely.
All right. You heard it here first, ladies
there
and gentlemen.
It is.
All right. We just want to take a second. This woman is absolutely fantastic, committing not just, you know, the time here at the convention, but all the time that's put into planning this. And I start off my last email to her, which was, Heather, you are awesome. And she really is. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Everybody, let's give a big round of applause to Heather Blush. Sign up for those seminars.
Right. We'll see you at Fallen.
Thank you much, friend. I didn't, but I will.
All right.
Thank
fantastic.
You for having me.
All right. And I'm also jumping off the tracks here because I'm calling somebody up here. And it's Bob Giglio from HMGS, the Convention Director of Historicon. Come on down, Bob. I'm calling you up. He didn't expect this, ladies and gentlemen, because I like to do things like that.
This man is off the rails.
Off the rails.
What can you do?
On a crazy train.
Yeah.
I had to bring Ozzy into it.
No, I'm always on a crazy train.
I'm always about bringing Ozzy into it.
Crazy train. That was free. That was a freebie.
Everybody gets one. Steve.
Everybody gets one. Good to see you, Bob.
How you doing?
So, Bob... There have been signs all over the place that says, we want you to be convention director. What's up with that?
Well, not me. I'm done.
How long have you been doing the convention, the Historicon convention, Bob?
Historicon since 2006.
Okay. So this is your last one. You're looking forward. What are you looking forward to doing now that you're not going to be the con director for Historicon?
Getting back to painting, running games, and not having 50 million emails and questions and everything else.
I probably contributed to 49 million of those
on
my head.
Hey, I got a question. Oh, there you go. Never mind. I was going to say.
What?
I was
going
to
say.
Our first email that I like 4 months ago when
is
I talked
Steve
about.
Is Steve going to drink?
Yeah. And I said, I don't know. Is fire going to burn?
There you go.
Hey, man. Come on. What? Luke made me eat a bunch of pizza tonight.
I did. I had to take care of him this time around. So
I'm good.
So, Bob, what has been your favorite thing at this Historicon? Other than it being over
being
in
the last one,
one right?
Tell me on that one. Okay. Well, basically, things are clicking. The first year you always have some problems. Second year you still have some problems, but it's nice to see that people are enjoying themselves and they're getting used to the new site. Although, you know, it's probably might not be here next year. We don't know yet. So just because of the casino problem. You know, we were hoping it would be here for a long time.
Not a problem for me.
But, you know, because to be able to walk into one level and have all gaming and the next level to have your vendors and the flea market and the painting, that is just huge.
You know, I mean, do you think they can just kill two birds with one stone and, like, you know, put money on, on Flames of War games?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, money down? Like, all right, these Panhards are going to take those guys.
Loser!
Exactly. Exactly.
Can't beat the house.
That would be fantastic.
I know.
That would be.
I kind of like this.
We would be broke.
Let's do this.
I would be broke. Like Bill Wilcox has
all my money. Let's set up like a gambling tournament.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I'm sure Battlefront will kick in on that.
Oh, they're all in for that. They already told me.
Those guys all have gambling.
Joe Crone left.
I already talked to them. They said it's fine.
Joe Crone already left, didn't he? Okay. Too bad.
So, are you going to be running any games at Fallen? Have you decided yet?
I've been. I gathered together some stuff. Something different. It's based on the Japanese and the Japanese and it kind of retreating from a British invasion. And it's different. That's all I'll put. It'll be I don't want to say any more than that, but it'll be a fun nighttime game.
Okay.
So,
are you
serious?
Still?
Serious, but it's it's a real battle. It happened, but it's just different. And I got the idea for it from Toy Soldier Show. I saw a really nice diorama about it.
Awesome,
bunch
cool.
of Japanese running for their life. And
now, are you?
So, everybody
you,
will play the Japanese. So,
are you still going to be on the HMGS board of directors? And are you going to be participating in any other cons in any other way or anything like
no,
that?
No, I'm a convention director. I do the
convention director. Sorry,
I'm not on the board.
Are you going to be helping out in any other way at the convention? You're just going to take a little.
Well, I get pinged on that a lot. So basically, I'll just call me a convention consultant.
Right. And, I understand.
You know, heavy on the consultant part of
it. Okay, we wanted to bring you up here, Bob, because we wanted to personally thank you. We just cannot tell you how much. You've done so much to get everything set up and, and get us a room and get everything taken care of. And you've been instrumental not only here, but you're also instrumental at Cold Wars, you know, making that happen for our first time out. And we really enjoy the relationship we have with HMGS, and you're one of the people who made that happen. And we hope that we can contribute in some small way to the hobby. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate what you do, not only for HMGS, but for us and for everybody out here. This is the guy who made it happen. This is why you have a place to game this weekend. This is why you're able to get away. And we are going to miss you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I want to play a game with you. And
thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for being
Appreciate
here, Bob.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
Everybody having fun?
Yeah. Good. All right, Bob. I had to jump off on that one.
That's all good, man. All right, guys, next up, we're doing the trivia. So we're doing it a little different this year. We're not going to have you guys line up. Instead, we got the sole member of the committee of getting shit done. He's going to walk around with the mic, and he's going to call on you when you raise your hand. We're going to ask you questions. You raise your hand. You get a right answer. Walk over here. Pick anything off this table. And I'd just like to give a special shout-out here to the DeMeo family because two of those books up there, this man loaned them to me like 2 years ago. And one day I was like, man, I'm not going to read these. And he's like, nah, just keep them. Man was shocked to see him up there. So, guys, this is donated officially from the DeMeo family.
I'd like to ask a question. I would like to ask a question. Mrs. DeMeo, what is your anniversary date, please?
That'll be tomorrow.
Oh! Happy anniversary,
yeah, you know,
guys.
Let me tell you something. I would like to just take a moment and publicly recognize your husband for bringing the romance to the relationship, taking you to a gaming convention.
That's right.
There, that is. And you know what? You are a beautiful woman for being here. I'll tell you that right now.
Do you guys want to borrow the jungle room tonight? Because
they might want the leather and lace. Right?
Oh, you mean the one with the baz? All right. So here we go, guys. We're gonna start asking questions. We're gonna try to keep this going pretty quickly because everyone listening to this later doesn't really care about this. Some of these questions are pretty darn easy. Some are a little tough. Ultimately, whoever Sean calls on, that's who's coming up and answering it. Everybody good to go? What I'd like to say is just say your name. You know, I'm Steve McLaughlin, and the answer is blah, blah, blah. And then we'll let you go get a prize. All right? You guys ready to go?
You taking out? You leading off?
Man, you go ahead.
All right. I'm just asking the question.
Are we hot? Oh, you're not hot yet.
Hot? I'm hot. Hot. I'm hot, baby. Hot, I'm hot, baby.
Hot.
All
right.
Lock and load.
All right. Ooh. I'm jumping around too.
What?
What was the code name of the head of the British intelligence network? Who wants that one?
Got you. All You're right. The first.
All right. Here we go.
This is as far as I got, brother. Jerry Lane, and that would be C.
It wasn't multiple choice. I'm just kidding. Actually, the answer is Intrepid.
The correct answer is Intrepid. But hey, man, get a prize anyways. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's the hat. The hat. Everybody gets one.
Everybody gets one.
All right, guys. Here's a good one for you. When did President Franklin Roosevelt die?
Matt.
The date.
If I don't get this right, bad things happen.
Why? Are you going to, like, crap your pants?
Because it was on my birthday 41 years before I was born, April 12th, 1945.
You got it right, brother.
Yeah.
Get you a prize.
Winner. Ooh, I like this one. What was the name of the German propaganda broadcaster?
Colloquium.
I got you right here.
Axis Sally.
You win. Right. You get to buy 80 feet of bocage.
All right, guys. On what date did Germany and Italy declare war on the United States, and in turn, the United States declared war on Germany and Italy?
Mike, I gotcha. Yeah, you got to come to me, man. I'm sorry.
I'm tired. It's been a long weekend. The date was December 8th, 41.
December 11th, but close enough, brother. Get you a prize. 3 days off, that's good enough for us, man.
All right.
You got full line of sight to everybody?
That's too easy. That's too easy.
I'm standing here for full line of sight.
Okay. What was the date Rome was captured by the Allies?
June 4th, 1944.
You got
Bingo.
It, brother.
What's your name?
Jim.
Oh, that's...
Man, you guys are killing it.
Guys, I'm just going with the first
back
ones.
Back to back. All right. Let's see. We're going to jump ahead to some Flames of War trivia here. Actually, man, let's ask two more general history questions. Then we'll jump ahead to the Flames of War trivia. Guys, what was the Anzio Express? Anybody out there? Nobody. All right. That was a nickname given.
We got Mr. DeMeo right here.
You got it, Mr. DeMeo.
Nickname given to a German.
You can go get your book
gun.
Back if you want.
Yeah, go get your book.
Vote of confidence, man.
He gets a little sassy with the beard.
He gets sassy.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Did you see that?
Thank you for being here, Diane.
We're playing without politics.
There you go.
All right.
All right, man, you're up.
Okay. Okay, what was the German code name for the summer offensive against Russia in 1941? This is a giveaway question. If you don't know this, you should not be playing on the Eastern Front.
Barbarossa?
No, it's actually Barbarella. No, Barbarossa is
Barbarossa it is.
Queen of the Galaxy, yes, sir.
We got enough stuff back there? Okay. I'm trying to gauge it, so. All right. Here's another freebie. Who was Adolf Hitler's mistress / wife?
Sean O'Hara.
Ava Braun.
This is Craig Baxter. Ava Braun.
Craig Baxter.
Dude, you want some smoked water salmon?
Hey, Pete, taste this campfire beer. Craig
Braun. I put a straw in that and it disintegrated.
Oh, yeah.
He's going. Chug.
Good stuff, man.
He just said, that's good stuff.
I mean, this is a man who downs some Birrios.
Pete's testicles just descended.
One, two,
someday,
three.
Son.
All right. Is it my turn?
I don't know. Your turn. Go ahead.
Okay.
One more.
Okay, I want this one. What two British combat ships did the Bismarck sink?
This is a good one.
First one.
I love the looks on their face when they go, I know
got
this.
It?
All right, here comes a brave soul.
What's your name, brother?
Mac Homer. The Hood. And I can't remember any other British.
It's a Prince of Wales, man. Get yourself a prize. Close enough, man. Close enough. All right, we're moving on to some Flames of War trivia here.
Do you want to go over what we have left yet? See what we have?
Sean, you want to Vanna White it? All right, we're going to let Sean Vanna White what's left. Guys, we need you guys to stay kind of quiet, okay? You ruffians.
All right, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till we have a pick here. Walking away with a Cromwell. That's one of my personal collection that I gave away, by the way. Just to let you know.
That is true,
no,
guys.
No, it's for you. All right, let's see what we have left. We've got some Flames of War stuff here. We've got a couple more Cromwells from my personal collection. We've got a 76 Sherman. We've got a Fusier Motocycliste squad.
Motocycliste, man.
Oh, that's a spicy meatball right there, Sean.
And then we've got, we've got the 8th Army. Blister, we've got Dark Legion Warzone, Knowing Your Enemy, German Identification Guide. We've got a couple things from Falcon Figures. We've got some great Africa Corps Grenadiers, some Greeks, which I picked up myself.
You did.
Did somebody take the objective marker?
Did I lose my mic?
No,
I got it.
You're good.
And then we got a Falcon Figure shirt. We actually have a special that nobody's picked up yet. Tom Bobble, Field of Chaos, one of the greatest books ever written. From what was the Gamecast they were on? I don't
CWF
even know.
CWF Gamecast.
CWF Gamecast. Yep. So you guys got to pick some of these up. Give it a read. Maybe give it a review.
Check out TomBarbele.com if you're.
We've got some war paint.
Right, guys, we got a bunch of questions to get through. Yep. Let's keep rolling, guys. All right, we're gonna have some Flames of War trivia. You want to start, Luke?
All right, let's get it to it.
All right, let's do it to it.
All right, what two air support choices are found in the FOW that do not have a BF model with them? Let me say that again.
Who wrote that?
Got you right here, my friend.
Who wrote that?
Name
man, I got this. I got this.
You take that one.
Is the question clear enough for you? All right, man, all right.
My name's Lee, and it's the P-47 Lightning, or the Lightning, and the Focke-Wulf.
Fair enough, man. You got it. There's a ton of them. So,
can I say that Lee was my first opponent in my first tournament ever, and he was such an awesome dude.
Is that right?
I had to keep going.
You guys special friends now?
Yeah, we are.
All right.
Not like you and me. Don't get jealous.
I was jealous.
Friends.
All right. What weapon stand is found in many early war German infantry platoons that is not found in their late war counterparts?
Got you right here, my friend.
He's like Donahue.
Light mortar.
You know what? The answer is anti-tank rifle, but man, go ahead, because we got a lot of prizes. We got a lot of prizes to get through here. You got to paint it right, though, man. I know you. You can paint like a beast.
All right. In what phase of the game are rules for the turret rear MG applied?
Oh, man.
I guess
so
some
many
people have an answer.
We're in the back right.
Back right?
Yeah, somebody in the back right.
Back right.
You got it, my friend.
All right, here we go.
My name is Jason Davis, and that's the assault phase.
That would be the assault phase.
Yeah,
assault.
All right. So
let's see. Oh man, I'm not asking that. That's a stupid question.
You wrote them.
I didn't write those. I'm not gonna say who did. All right. Name the mid-war monster that can now also be found in Blitzkrieg and Eastern Front.
You right here, my friend. You were close last time.
Alex Schwartz, the Bunkerflak.
You got it, man. Or the nice. Bufla. You would have been acceptable.
The Bufla?
Hey, you got it right. It's chicken soup.
All right. What is the AT in firepower for a Stuka with bombs in early war? And a lot of you should know
Chris
this.
Chris Hecht is number one here.
Chris Hecht from Let's Play World of Tanks.
Let's Play World of Tanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Check it out. Solid plug.
What can I say?
This
it's
man.
Going to be a 5 with a 2 plus.
You got it, brother,
there
man.
Go.
Goes to 1 up later. Like that solid plug there. Guys, check out his World of Tanks
that
Let's
was
Play
so shameless.
Vids.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was good. Very used car salesman of you, man. I love it. All right, guys. All right. I think we're pretty much through all the Flames of War trivia. Gentlemen. If you've been listening to the podcast, answer this. What is Brian's snack of choice at my house?
Right here, my friend.
Say it loud.
Loud and proud, baby.
Ants.
He eats ants. This is for you, Brian, back home. We wish you were here, buddy.
Culver eats ants. All right. I'm going to ask a question that's not even on the list. What did John's wife get him for his birthday?
This was
right
on
here,
after
my friend.
Hours.
This was on After Hours.
My raincoat?
What did he say?
All right.
What did he say?
A raincoat?
It's a raincoat.
It's trench coat, raincoat, right.
Trench
right
coat, raincoat, close enough.
That's a true fan.
That is. Bring it home.
All right, gentlemen. What is Luke's favorite tank in Flames of War?
Oh,
Dano, right here was first.
Dano was all over that.
Dano.
You got it, man. All right.
It's tracked.
Take your time, man.
It's not a Sherman. It's not a Sherman, man. No. And I'm
kind of on it.
I forget. No, hold on. The little ones, what are they called? Those. The little.
Stuart? Uh-huh.
Stuart?
He just asked his friend what those little
ones. It's a Stuart, brother. You got
it.
It
is a Stuart. And we're about to go into our third act, which is a.
I was thinking Honey Badger.
Dude, Honey Badgers are the most badass creature on earth. Honey Badgers are freaking badass.
Did you have a traumatic experience with a Honey Badger?
No, dude, you gotta watch some videos. Those guys, basically, they eat honey. And they're like, yo, you're a bee's nest? Nah, it's mine. And all the bees are just stinging. I'm like, man, get off me. I'm eating this honey. Badass, man.
That's not the most badass part.
You get attacked by a honey badger?
Yeah.
All right, what?
All right, everybody.
All right, simmer down. What part of the armored train was temporarily lost and led to Brian's backyard adventure?
Right here,
boom.
Andy.
This man sifted through poo for this piece, like he was panning gold.
It was a smokestack. This man panned for smokestack.
The part that we had to edit out of the show is that it was also covered in ants, so you know where that went.
Yeah. Oh. All right, guys. Where is John right now, not including his layover?
Where was he last week?
In Scotland.
Scotland.
Let us see Baxter again.
All right, guys. This is more of a divination question. I need you to think about this.
Hey, give us the first part back, man. We need that.
What is that?
What is that?
What was that?
What is that? Oh, I see. Oh,
all right. That makes sense.
Or some money find me.
Oh, Lord.
Nice.
Mr. DeMayo loves the mead.
This man loves a mead. And I will say, last year I missed Nationals at Historicon because I was at his wedding, and someone had some homemade mead, and I got pretty sauced.
Shocker.
Pretty
That's the first time.
Newsflash, everybody. Steve got sauce.
That's good times. So here's the divination question, guys. This is kind of a vote. I don't know how we're going to give out the prize. Whatever, Sean. That's up to you. My wife finds out in 5 days whether we're having a boy or a girl. What do you guys think it is? What do you think?
I can answer that question, actually.
I don't want you.
We're going all the way in the back. That was the first hand. I don't know how to judge that.
She birthed the regiment. The British Armored Regiment.
Jordan from Battlefront.
Jordan!
First to congratulate you on your
Thank
baby
you,
girl.
Thank you, sir. Okay, all right. I can take
Boom.
It.
Boom.
Thanks, brother.
Just keep doing it till you get it right.
All right, guys, how much
did
stuff
you want
do you
my
left?
Smart-ass comment, or did you want me to...
Take something else, too.
Field of Chaos. No, the first copy is gone.
What's up? Six more prizes, man. I'm out of questions.
We know that he's going to have
I'm
a boy.
Totally out of questions here. This is all
we
I can
We know
come
that he's
with.
Having a boy.
We do know that.
Because all I have are boys. I only say I love. Okay. I'm giving some quick. We're gonna do a quick shotgun trivia for six questions. Ready? Who was the head of the SS?
Boom! Right here.
Right.
Come
what German
up,
field marshal was in charge of the Atlantic Never Wall?
Rommel.
No, no, not
come
it's
on.
Not,
come
not,
on
right
hands
here,
up.
Right here.
Give it a
get something, man. Get something, buddy.
He said it with class.
That was Malachi, brother. All right.
We had two for that prize. They shouted out at the same time. So just
Fine,
do a couple
ahead.
More questions.
All right,
you still got your prize, my friend.
Go ahead. Get a prize, man. What general commanded the Third Army?
Right here.
Oh!
Oh, get out!
This man said Monty! Oh!
Boom!
Hold on. Would you like to redeem yourself? Yeah, brother! This man said Monty. He's wearing a freaking British tanker cap. Get out of
Panzer,
here, blimey bastard.
Who wrote Panzer Leader?
Right here.
You right, bro?
I didn't even hear the answer, but yeah, go for it.
All right, is that it? Or one more prize?
One more?
One more wonderful Falcon miniatures prize.
Right?
No. They went.
Oh, they are?
Okay, here's the, is that the crappy box John told me to sell at Historicon and I didn't sell it? Yeah, okay, ready? For the grand prize.
This is from Dirty John's personal dungeon.
Right. And trust me, it's a dungeon.
It's much like the Leather and Lace Room.
Right. It's mostly like the Leather
it's
Room.
It's based off the true story of John's dungeon.
So how he got the name
all
Dirty
right,
John.
All right, all right.
All right, what was the name of the American general who captured Rome?
This is a tough one.
Oh, right here. Right
Mark
here.
Clark. That's it, brother. Who said
you
it?
You got it.
You got it. Nice.
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. That's it.
It was Marky Mark Wahlberg.
I think you're sexy.
Also his Funky Bunch.
And his Funky
Let's
Bunch.
Not forget about
the Funky Bunch stormed.
The Funky Bunch really took
it. They made it past the wall.
All right, guys. All right, everybody calm down. Calm down. Shh. All right, all right. So that's it for the trivia, guys. We're going to take a quick 5-minute break. We're going to come back for the third round. We're going to do the drawing. We've got some awesome prizes out there. We've got some more interviews lined up. It's going to be solid. So we'll see you guys in 5 minutes.
All right. And we're back.
All right, guys, we're live again, so everybody settle down now.
All right, so we're putting people on the spot because we love to do that.
That's right, we're going
to
put just a couple people on the spot for like 2 minutes, like speed interviews.
Okay, so first of all is one of our friends from the north, Mr. Sean Morris.
Come on up,
man. Come on down.
Come on.
Sean.
Woo.
So, Sean, how did you do in Nationals, buddy?
Kicked my 3 wins, 3 losses. Yeah,
all right. Split here, here. Actually, we've got the same number of victory points, I think, right?
Yeah, 22, 23, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. So what projects are you working on? Right? Does everybody know Sean Morris? Everybody know Sean, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean, how do they look you up?
You can find me on the web. Just go to The Terrain Guy, Blogspot. That's my blog.
Okay.
Go to the RHQ website. So it's rankingshq.com. I'm there, so... It's not to be confused with theterrainguy.com. I know you guys made the distinction. So
that's
just
right.
The Terrain Guy or Sean Morris. You can just Google me. I'll come up on the
get a headshot?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So what projects are you working on right now, my man? You got a big table set up?
Right now I'm just doing some work for RHQ, just doing some switchable tile systems. So kind of crossing the link between modular and static. So I like to do static boards for the main part, but I'm kind of trying to accommodate everybody. So I'm kind of doing like a lower end scale in terms of the baseboard. But then I'm going to add some nice features on and do
awesome.
Some different things. So I worked on my display board for a little while and did that. And
beautiful display board.
Yeah,
if you guys haven't seen it, there's pictures on his site. Maybe we can post some on ours, cross-link.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's on my blog, and it's just I just did a kind of a cobblestone sort of courtyard thing. But I was thinking about doing a whole table like that just for, you know,
that'd be
just
fun.
For fun. Yeah,
that'd be
so
cool.
I mean, I got a table up there. If I build a table, nobody's playing on it. So
right.
I mean, I don't do a lot of terrain for myself. So
yeah. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool.
Awesome. What's your favorite part of Historicon so far?
I think I just like the Nationals part of it. It's kind of cool to come down and compete. I don't compete against anybody. I never rolled dice for Early War until they came down to Nats. So
nice,
get three
man.
Wins. It was pretty good. So, yeah. So
and
just coming.
Bad.
You brought your lovely bride with you, too, is right?
Well, yeah. It's actually, we've been married a couple years. We anniversary one day. Ours is in 2 days. So, yeah. So.
Nice. Right on. Huh?
I'll tell you what.
Keeping the romance alive.
Yeah.
These guys know how to treat ladies.
That's right. Did you buy her a nice new army for her anniversary?
I think she's going to win a Polish train, so we'll be all right.
All right. And that's what she always wanted. I wish we had a picture of the look on her face right now.
Yeah, she doesn't look
that's
happy
fantastic.
About it. I'll tell you what. Actually, Sean, you better go back because I think she's about to flip out.
Deidre, how you hanging in back there? You doing all right? Okay, terrific.
Right.
Well, thank you, Sean,
cheers.
For coming up.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Yeah, we want to bring somebody up here, a good friend of ours, Mr. Kai. Come on up here. That's right.
Come
on, put you
buddy.
On the spot.
Yeah.
This is a new part of our show.
Put I know, me man. Put
on the
on
spot.
The spot.
That's right.
All right, Kai, tell us who you are.
Hey, I'm Kai Weaver. I make Falcon figures, the Quartermaster. I make all kinds of, from Biblical to World War II. Making a lot more World War II now. I just purchased Legion's East, so I'm making Finns, Russians, Romanians, Hungarians, Africa Corps, Greeks, and... all kinds of stuff.
How long cool. you been? How long you been doing this?
I started selling figures in '97, and then I bought Falcon figures about 7 years ago, and learned how to do everything. I make resin pieces. We make resin tanks. We make terrain pieces. We paint figures. My kids are helping. That's my two boys over there, Malachi
nice.
And Kai. And my daughter.
Right.
You might see my daughter Madison around. Most guys notice my daughter Madison. She paints really good too. Matter of fact, she sold her first army today. She sold a whole bunch of Ottoman Turks.
Oh,
nice.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Does she paint samurai?
No, she doesn't paint samurai.
Okay.
I have special people to paint samurai.
I got to throw this out there. Okay, so I'm an idiot. Guess what I did today? I bought about 80% of a samurai army today, 25mm. And
why paint samurai?
Ask me the last time I played Ancients.
Ah. Well, I can paint samurai. Nice. I can do that.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. So what's your favorite part of Historicon? Because you're stuck in that vendor area a lot, right?
Yeah, boy, I've been trapped this time. But I just like seeing all the guys that I've known for all the years, and you see the kids are growing up together and more kids are in the wargaming. You want to see the kids participating, and that's great. Like Heller was here with the kids painting and all that stuff. It's nice to see the kids at the shows.
How long have you been casting miniatures, man? I know you do it.
I've been doing it about 7 years, and awesome. I've been doing it at the house. I live in Virginia. I don't know if you guys live in Virginia, but you guys are going to get that opportunity.
I know. Me and Sean
are
going to come watch
it. I have a lock on my door, and I'm not going to let you out until you cast enough figures for my orders.
I believe it, man. Me and Sean are going to do a special segment. We're gonna cast the miniatures.
That's
with
real cool. Real cool.
I'm excited. Thanks I'm also terrified.
Thanks for the invite.
Dude, you want to come?
Yes, I do. All right. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact.
Consider yourself formally invited.
It will be fun. I love to have people come cast figures. I don't mind
showing. Excited to check
That's
it out.
That's awesome.
If that we plan cool. it good, I'll show you how to make them old, too. I've got some new figures in the works.
Awesome,
so
man.
I'm all about that.
I've got That's some very new cool. stuff. I know you guys play mostly World War II. I really love Napoleonics. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
I just got to ask a question. Who here is gotten into who or has gotten into Napoleonics, you know, is one of the first things they did with wargaming?
Or does it now?
Or does it now? Yeah, I mean, awesome. That's 50% of the room.
Right there.
You just love them.
It's my addiction. If you can think of something, I try to make it. I'm always making something new for the Napoleons. I just did the Prussians for Valmy. Not that anybody needs them, but I love them.
Cool. Well, that's kind of your thing. Like you kind of cast
like
things that not
stuff.
A lot of other
I like
guys
to do,
do
stuff other people. Yeah. Like those the Greeks over there were unlabeled. Somebody got to pack them. I'm sorry. But when Flames of War came out of one of my own guys, so the guys, nobody made Greeks, but they had it up on the website what the army was. So instead of doing conversions, I had my sculptor do Greeks. So I had my own Greek army.
Very cool.
Their special weapon is a grenade launcher.
Nice. That's
very
cool.
powerful grenade. Awesome.
And Sean will certainly vouch for your fins. Yeah. They've hit the table. They're
All
nice
right,
stuff.
Great.
We got a question from the audience. What's up, Craig?
Do the Greeks have Euros?
Euros? No. No. But they had lots of burros.
Opa!
They had lots of burros. No Euros.
I go
burros.
To a Greek church. If you make a Euro stand, buy it for an objective.
Oh, okay. I do have one of the personality packs that we have. I have a Greek priest with a rifle and a lady with a rifle and overcoat. That's the personality.
That's pretty sweet.
You have to have the Greek priest. He's pretty good. And he'll work for Russians, too, by the way.
I worked for my crazy Greek godmother for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
well, hey, they stopped the Italians cold and took their equipment and guns.
Yeah, but everybody stopped the Italians. All right. Kai, thank you
so much. Hey, where can we find you? Where can people find you if they want to look you up?
Falconfigures.com. It's a pretty simple website. I'm a working guy, so I'm home during the day. I work at night. I bartend. Make all you people happy. Email me. I'm home all the time. Yeah, if I'm not, we'll put the boys to work casting figures for you.
Nice.
We paint stuff, too.
Cool.
Yeah, like I said, you guys got to come down. You cast your own figures
We're doing
and take
it.
Them home.
Oh, you sold us. We're coming down, man.
We're down there.
Awesome.
We're down there.
All right,
thank
guys.
You,
thanks
Kai.
Awesome.
Yeah,
thank you, Kai.
All right. We're going to do one more quick guest before we get to the man of the hour, Joe Crone, and that's going to be Mr. Chris Hecht. Buddy, come on up, man.
That's right. Take a picture of yourself.
That's right. Man, we just want to talk to you briefly just to revisit something we've kind of been into, and that's World of Tanks, man.
Sure, how's it going, man?
Yeah, shut up.
Okay, thanks.
get out of here. Chris has been playing World of Tanks, and he's been making these Let's Play videos.
Yes,
kind
I
of
have.
Shows off the different kinds of tanks, so tell us a little about that, man.
Certainly. I've been working with, of course, the World of Tanks game. It's a free-to-download game. You only pay if you want to, and it covers... It's a microtransaction sort of game. You buy gold, which can then be translated into earning extra experience or translating into in-game credits or stuff like that. You can buy extra tanks, whatnot. But you guys had originally gotten into it. I had been playing it since the beta of the game, and I had slowly taken over. Sadly, I've taken over control, as you guys have obviously been branching into more... important things.
Right.
So I'm helping to progress the clan here. I'm doing what I can.
That's right. We actually have a pretty big clan. And a few days ago, I gave Chris basically commander roles. I don't really understand how that works.
I've taken it over because I'm the more active one.
He usurped me. I haven't even played it.
I'm sorry, man.
No, that's fine, dude.
But yeah, so
I'm in the hands of a capable man.
I have taken it over, and I've been working. We're trying to get into the whole clan war thing, but that's a whole branch of things I haven't really looked into yet. We need a lot of people in higher levels, whatnot else. But it's a first-person shooter slash tank combat slash historical reenactment sort of thing. So it's not going to be Germans on Americans. It's going to be
this era tanks versus this era tanks. It's basically, you know, the two different groups are either going to destroy each other's or a team deathmatch, or it's going to be a capture the other team's flag.
It's like Counter-Strike with tanks.
Pretty much.
You pretty, can, pretty good explanation.
How does knowing Flames of War help you in World of Tanks?
It helps. You'll be like, I'm pretty sure that gun has 18.9. His armor is a 6, so I got a chance here.
Yeah, you do know that. That's exactly what I do.
You sort of get into the sort of higher levels where you're like, oh, I have a Panther. That means I have an AT-14 gun. Oh, wait, I'm going against a Patton. Oh, why is that in Vietnam and I'm playing against something that's in World War II? So,
yeah, but you also know, hey, I don't want to get shot in the side either.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of translates because you're seeing the favorite tanks that you've been playing in Flames of War, or in reverse, if you're playing World of Tanks and want to get into Flames of War, it's like, oh, I've seen the T-34. It was awesome when I used to play it in World of Tanks, and now I'm playing it in Flames of War, and it's direct translation that really does work out. But yes, as you guys are saying, I do run a Let's Play, which is it follows me demonstrating the game. I'm trying to demonstrate different tanks, trying to get each individual tank into my videos that I produce on YouTube, which is youtube.com/darkling, DARQUELING. I'm sure that you guys will post it, or
sure.
It's actually on your website through one of the links.
Click on World of Tanks up in the top.
Yes, exactly. But I try and demonstrate each tank, their advantages and weaknesses, and I try and go through it as to show how someone can get into the game, how they can progress and do very well in the game. I'm by no means an expert, but I try and give the average Joe just the type of fun that they want to have with the game. I mean, it really is based on the user to provide the sort of income to the game. Because, like I said, it's a free-to-play.
Sure.
So if you don't invest in the game, obviously they aren't earning money, but you can still enjoy the game. So it really comes down to the people who want to put forth the effort.
Gotcha.
I think World of Tanks is a great gateway drug into Flames of War, personally.
Both ways. It really does go both ways.
Yeah, it does. It's a nice way to take a break because, you know, we're always looking down on the figures, and it is kind of neat to be able to, you know, look through that turret. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely is. It is really nice to be able to be there and be like, I'm really in that T-34/85. I'm really in that PZ-3.
Well, thank you so much for being on, brother. We appreciate it. No problem. Everything you've been doing for us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Take care, man.
All right.
All right. And with no further ado, guys, the man of the hour.
The Tower of Power.
My.
The one, the only, the original, the indomitable.
Good evening.
Good evening. First up, on behalf of all the guys who are Nationals, thank you guys so much. Phenomenal event. Again, as always, we had a great time. You guys did a great job, man.
Thank you. I think it's... During the awards presentation, I don't think we took time out to recognize, you know, all the employees that put in the effort to make it happen.
We'll take a second right now.
Please do.
I want to thank all the employees that helped me.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. I'm out. I'm dropping the mic. I think it's important because the guys, you know, I was just actually having a conversation with a couple of guys playing in the medieval and ancient warfare section. And, you know, one of the things we kind of mentioned is it's all about community. And the players themselves put forth the effort to collect, you know, paint the armies, come and play, support our game. And the employees put forth the effort to put on a good show.
Sure.
And it really works hand in hand. So the success of the event isn't just the employees. It's not just the players showing up. It's really kind of, you know, the kumbaya experience of both. So
right.
I think it's important.
It was a great event, man, and kind of moving forward, it was, I guess, one of the only, or maybe down the road it'll be different, but it was kind of, I was really excited about it because it was the event out of Blitzkrieg. It's before there's early war, like the other Nationals are mid-war, late war, and I know you've talked a little bit about moving more towards almost scenario-specific tournaments or like specific battles even. So what do you think for next year's Nationals, man? You think it's going to be more open-ended? You going to incorporate all the early war stuff for the early war side, or...?
Well, the nice thing about Flames of War and the difference between that and any other gaming experience, whether it's sci-fi, fantasy, is you have to kind of utilize the tools that you have in front of you. And one of those is the history. Mm-hmm. You know, a science fiction or a fantasy game can provide you their own version of history, but it doesn't have that same feel as real history. The first time that I went to Aberdeen Proving Grounds and saw a tank for real after getting into Flames of War was a much more surreal experience than I could ever get from a science fiction or fantasy game. You know, I picture what I do on the Flames of War battlefield, and then I look at that tank for real, and I knew somebody was in that. was just amazing. So moving forward with how we want to perceive tournaments and run tournaments that the players will enjoy is we kind of have to look at breaking it down not only in early war, mid war, and late war, but do we want to move forward with having a mid war nationals that is broken into two sections, North Africa and Eastern Front. So when you sign up to participate in that particular area, and that's what you play against. And from there, it could be, do we want to do Axis versus Allies for every game? Do we want to keep it as a Swiss tournament, but still have it broken down into those theaters of operation?
And you guys did a pretty good job of keeping it red versus blue. I had one blue on blue, which is pretty understandable, considering you didn't really enforce a strict level.
Well, one of the things we did with the table assignments, because it was more manual, we were using a different computer software system, and our printer broke. So we had to do everything manually. And one of the things that we tried to look at was we maintained the Swiss-style tournament, which was based on victory points. And we tried to match up like opponents. So if they're doing well, they matched against somebody else that was doing well. And where we could, we did Axis versus Allies. Didn't always work out that way. And we ended up having, I think, 8 or 9 more Allied players in Axis. So there definitely were some mismatches. But we tried to give everybody that experience that we could.
How many players were there today?
There was 56 in total.
Awesome. Whew. Yeah, that was a big one. How many of those were British Armored Regiments?
Just 52.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Minus your French, 50.
That's right. All right, very cool. So what's next? Any big events coming up that you're heading up?
We got Gen Con, which is essentially it's a sales show for us, but the Game Core Indianapolis chapter will essentially head up 3 tournaments, which is they're 1-day tournaments each day, and they're doing early, mid, late, I believe, each day.
Oh, cool.
Awesome Gen Con.
Man.
And they have also registered games, a lot like they did here, the intro games, a lot of people were calling them. And I believe there's enough games where they have 124 slots or something like that.
Wow.
And 112?
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. And they have, what, 110 of those are picked up?
112 or sold.
Yeah. So Flames of War is going to have a pretty nice presence at Gen Con.
That's pretty awesome. And you want to tell us a little bit about the Masters? You mentioned it kind of at the end of the tournament today, but I know it's something you feel pretty strongly about because you seem jazzed on it every time you've mentioned it. So.
I'm pretty excited because it's something completely different than I've ever done at any other gaming company I've worked at, and it's a culmination of how the Nationals function, how the qualifiers function, and then you have this Masters event, which if people enjoy that competition aspect of the tournaments, they can look forward to attempting to compete and attend this event. It's 16 players. Everything's paid for by Battlefront with the exception of your travel. So all the food, the whole nine yards.
Awesome.
One of the things that we want to do is actually have an awards banquet after the tournament.
Nice.
So rather than it just being me standing up and handing out some awards, we actually have a nice sit-down dinner.
Nice.
We do the awards as well, and it's really...
That's pretty cool.
Those 16 players with a handful of staff just kind of getting together and and having a good time.
So who are the other 14?
So it's the top 2 from all 3 nationals, right? And then the top 10 on Rankings HQ that aren't duplicates, is that
right? Yeah, it's the overall champion and best general from each nationals. So that'll give us 6 players.
Right.
And then it's essentially the next top 10 ranked players off the Rankings HQ. If any of those 16 decline or cannot make the event, we ask the next player until we get to the top 24.
Gotcha.
And after 24, if we only get 6 guys that show up, we only get 6 guys. But we stop at 24.
Cool. Man, sounds like a lot of fun. Where's it at this year?
It's in Embassy Suites, right next to the Philly airport.
Very cool. Very cool. Luke, you got anything, man? Pete, we got an audience question here. Coming up to the mic. He just wants to talk on the mic. That's fine. You've earned it, buddy.
Actually, I do want to say, and this is a credit to Joe and all the Battlefront staff, I've been taking a lot of pictures of everybody as they're playing through the different rounds. I used to work for the other evil company, so I've seen a lot of that.
Wait, the other evil company?
I want to stop you there because you're insinuating that we are evil.
There's only one evil company. I think we all know who it is. I apologize to Battlefront. But, so I've seen a lot of that guy rolling around. I have yet to see a single that guy at this tournament over the course of 3 days, including the early war tournament. And every single person I've talked to has not had a single complaint about the tournament you guys have run today.
Amen.
And that's just talking to the players out of confidentiality. Good job.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, I want to comment real quick on what Pete said. You know, because a lot of people do look out there and say, big game company, evil. You know, and this right here, what's happened today, and this guy sitting right here is testament to the fact that that's not really, you know, the way things are. You guys do a lot of great things. I mean, you know, Heather got up here and talked. I don't know if you caught that or not. You know, donating the tanks to the painting competition. I mean, that's absolutely awesome. They're a big part of our prize support today, contributed by Battlefront.
Right.
So really appreciate it. And I mean, I didn't get a chance to play in Nationals. I wanted to give everybody else a chance. it just looked absolutely fantastic. I mean, absolutely fantastic. What a great event. So yep. We can't tell you how
great
much
event.
We appreciate you
cool.
guys.
Zero complaints, man. It was awesome.
Well, we appreciate you guys doing this because this is a lot of fun, I think, for the guys out there. But I listen to it as well and enjoy what you guys have to say.
Yeah. I noticed you haven't bought the after hours, though. Is there a problem? Maybe with your PayPal?
You know,
I'm just kidding, buddy.
It's that $1.
I'll send them to you.
You know,
I'll send them to you for free. I'll do that for you.
You know what? You did say there was profanity, and that's...
yeah, there's a little profanity.
Yeah,
I can't, again.
I can't handle that.
No, but I know.
Take
true.
Easy on his Virgin ears, please.
That's right. So, any Wrath of a Shardalon events coming up, man? Maybe in the Jungle Room tonight?
Yeah, I think as part of the Masters program, we're going to do an After Hours of Shardalon event.
We need to do that, man. Yeah. We need to do that. This guy brought it. Actually, a lot of people have come up to me and said, man, after you guys talked about it, I went out and bought it. I mean, it had to be 4 or 5 people came up to us and said they bought it after our last podcast. I saw a bunch of people playing it downstairs. Phenomenal game. If you guys haven't played it, check it out. It's a Wizards of the Coast board game. It's like D&D, Dungeon Crawl. Anyways, it's awesome. But
hey, Joe, can you tell us any, you know, we can all go on the website and look at some upcoming things, and everybody obviously got a chance to look at Hellfire and Back, which is down
and it's awesome.
At the Battlefront store. You can't buy it. I even asked if I could photocopy pages, and I was told absolutely not, so I can start working on my list. But what other projects do we have to look forward to from Battlefront in the future here?
Well, there's obviously Early War North Africa that'll be coming out starting basically in August. The Hellfire and Back, I believe, is slated for the middle, you know, towards the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be some new scenery sets and things like that we've worked on. I'm not sure on the release dates, but there's some North Africa themed Battlefield in the Boxes that'll be coming
awesome.
For that. Battle on the Bulge is
meow.
Coming down the pipe.
I'd like to say meow on that, please.
Yeah.
So I know that's coming down the pipeline later this year, I think in the winter.
Makes sense.
That's about as far out as I know. I mean,
how's Infantry Aces going?
It's pretty good. I know the plastic bases sold out in the first 2 days.
Those look amazing, by the way.
Absolutely.
So they're
awesome. Yeah, I know those have gone really well. The Infantry Ace Blister, I think, is done really well, just for the fact that it just gives you something different for command teams or whatever you want to do with
right,
it.
Right,
right. I was getting ready to say I was peeping. I didn't.
You were peeping.
I was taking
fine.
It hardcore. You don't know how I roll. You don't know me.
I know you.
But I was down there. You guys have a new map, but it's a dry erase map, right, for Infantry Aces?
Yeah, the map.
Yeah, wet erase. Wet erase.
Okay, I just saw that, so maybe I'm.
It looks pretty sweet.
It does look pretty cool. How does that you can use that on any front? How does that work?
Yeah, well, it's based on Casino. It's
right.
It's based on the Infantry Aces that's in the book. But the cool thing about Infantry Aces is anybody can play it using any nation they want. You can use Italians, you can use Soviets, you can use Finns, Hungarians, whatever the case may be. So it's you would use the map to it's a lot like the Firestorms in the sense of you can play a Firestorm campaign and use any army that you want. It just really comes down to the organizer.
Sure.
Does he want to keep it historically themed, or does he just want to get a lot of guys playing some games?
Now, you know, at Cold Wars, one of the things we talked about was the fact that it's really hard for people to go out and build and paint 1,700, 2,000 points of army. And it seems like in Infantry Aces, you guys are kind of setting it up so, you know, people can progress you know, with smaller size units. I got a big bar right here in my way. Let me leave
yeah.
But
a bar?
A bar. Got a bar in the way. But people can progress maybe 600 points and move up.
Right.
Was, you know, are you guys going to be looking at more products, kind of gearing it toward that so people can progress and get more people into the hobby?
Sure. I mean, that's definitely the easiest way to get in the hobby. I mean, the Open Fire starter set is a great way to get in the hobby. It's you know, for $40, you get a rule book, you get some tanks,
yep.
and you're off and you're running. It's the same thing with the infantry aces. It's an excellent way to go down to your local shop, buy a blister, and that's – you know, that's almost all you need. You buy maybe two blisters, and you're going.
Yeah.
And it's nice because depending on how the organizer sets up the league or the campaign, every so many weeks you can have those items assembled, painted, whatever the case may be, and then you're adding in a next platoon. And by the end, you can start adding in, you know, things like tanks, gun teams, things of that nature, where now you can start flushing out your army. And from there, you can take those tanks and maybe develop, you know, a tank company or,
right,
or wherever that may lead you.
Right. That's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. It's a great way to just have a structured, you know, sort of slow grow league. It's really nice. Do you guys know if there's going to be more campaigns coming out or is that planned yet?
I heard initially that, you know, based on the success of this, it will determine the Infantry Aces idea, but I think moving forward we want to do more stuff with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And how about Firestorm on the subject of campaigns? Are there any plans for that? Is there still going to be the Desert campaign book that was mentioned a while back?
That's all he cares about.
That's true. That's all I care about.
The last I had heard with Firestorms is we like the idea of it. It's a cool concept, but the board games can be very cost prohibitive. So moving forward, we may continue to do the Firestorm ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It just may come in a different format.
Gotcha.
And this Infantry Aces concept with the vinyl mat and the wet erase markers could be a way that we move forward with Firestorms as well.
It's a cool idea.
So if people have a – people, you want to say something?
I actually do. I just want to say, as a microphone, you said it was cost prohibitive. I said our group that runs out of Baltimore – we're running a Firestorm migration. We have personally drawn in 12 brand new players because of this campaign. We're actually running an Infantry Aces campaign on a casino coming up in August, directly because of your releases. So I want to say it's got 12 new guys in. That's I know it's a small microcosm of the bigger nation, but that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the basic fact in our wargaming community is that we have to draw people in, and people are not just wargamers are not just, you know, pop out here they are. You know, we've got to bring people in, and I don't want to get onto my soapbox here, but you know, part of our responsibility, we got to bring people into it.
Because
I'm tired of playing you. I'm tired of playing the same four guys, right? Who's you know, you got a gaming group?
Yeah.
Do you get tired of playing the same four people over and over?
I know
again?
Tom's tired of playing me. Isn't that right, bud? You're tired of it.
Right. So, yeah, we got to bring people in. I think this is a great way to bring people in.
Yep.
I really do.
Any closing thoughts, Joe? Anything else you want to say real quick? Had a good time, man?
How can people contact you? What do they contact you for? Why would they, you know?
No, no one needs to contact you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's not that important,
I
don't think.
Okay,
yeah.
Right on. Okay.
I think it's great what you guys do. I love coming here, so anytime you guys want me on the show to talk about whatever, you know, feel free to contact me.
We got you on air for that. Yeah, that's we got
that's
you.
Right. I know, but that's why I'm not going to give you the email address on the air. but guys can feel free to contact me. The easiest way to do it is usnationals@battlefront.co.nz.
Okay.
That goes to me and my boss. So if I'm out of the office or whatever, he's got visibility to it.
Okay.
You know, anything in regards to shows, conventions, tournaments, questions about those, guys can feel free to contact me.
Cool.
Rock and roll.
Awesome.
Joe, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Good times.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. I've got you. Pass it on to me.
All right. Good to go. I'm not going to wash this hand for 10 years.
Yeah.
We have somebody else here from Battlefront, don't we?
I don't know. Do we?
Don't we have another person from Battlefront?
There's a whole bunch of us. Who do you want?
Not you, Mark.
Somebody who traveled more than 1,000 miles to get here.
Adam, you want to come up, man?
Adam.
Nice.
Adam.
Rock and roll.
There it is.
Nice.
How you doing, Adam? Okay, so you're going to have to pronounce your last name because I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know how.
Siminovich.
Right on. Okay, so what do you do at Battlefront?
Anything and everything.
Oh, okay. Man. You're kind of the mystery man of Battlefront?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you guys want to know?
Well, tell us what you do.
Want to know it all.
What are you doing here at StoreCon?
I guess I'm a management trainee.
Okay.
Would be my job title. But
kind of born into it, I guess. Family business.
So you're from Jersey? Is that right?
Not quite. A little bit off. New Zealand's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. How long have you been involved in Flames of War specifically, or Battlefront, rather?
Well, since it's been started, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, my dad brought toys home, and it was like, cool. But yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Can you tell we love putting people on the spot?
That's right. You are on the spot right now. Is that all right?
It's all good.
All right, cool.
Do you actually have a hobbit hole since you're from New
Zealand? Luke's only knowledge.
We don't talk about it.
That's my only knowledge of New Zealand.
He's like, so where are you in relation to Mordor?
Exactly.
That's his only. So is this first time you've come to the States for this? Or?
I've been to the States 3 times, okay. All to Vegas, so I have a bit of a
All right.
view. That's the best
What
happens at Historicon stays at Historicon.
Right.
Yeah.
So how does this compare to the conventions that go on in New Zealand? I mean, are there other big conventions like this there? I don't even know.
Not as big as this. I mean, we just don't have the customer base, I guess.
Right. I mean, you guys are, like, busy mustering armies to fight, like, armies of darkness.
I know. It's a full-time job.
Damn that Sauron.
We're never going to get over that, man.
Never. Can't let it die.
Cool. So what do you think of the convention?
That's been great. I really enjoyed today.
Yeah? Have you been able to break away and check out some of the games? Anything going
definitely.
On?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
cool, man.
Sneak off and wonder, but it's all good.
Yeah.
What kind of armies are you playing?
I'm thinking of starting an Italian early. So.
Oh, that's right. Bring the pain with some early
good
war
choice.
Times. Right on.
Yeah. I do love some Italians. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you
for coming over.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right. I think it's time for the raffles, guys. What do you think?
Are you guys
I think
ready?
We're about to wind it down.
We are about to wind it down. So what do we have coming up that we need to
do? Do we have coming up? There's Guns of August is coming up.
Guns of August, right?
And quickly, I would like to plug the Heroes of Armageddon. Those guys out there, they're doing the painted armies for charity, basically. It's Wounded Warrior, right? And Dave Taylor, those guys.
Dave Taylor, Brian Delaney, but got a bunch of other people you can find on the website.
Yes.
All right.
Shh. Everybody talking to me right now. Just kidding. You can find them at heroesofarmageddon.blogspot.com. Check it out. It's pretty awesome. They've actually asked us to do some Flames of War stuff. So there's nothing official there yet, but probably in the next few weeks you might hear about us painting a Flames of War army for up for auction. So that'd be pretty sweet. Guns of August. Man, Carl, you want to come tell us a little bit about Guns of August?
Carl, what is the dates of Guns of August?
Now let's bring Carl up real quick. Real quick. Yeah.
Are we doing an early war tournament Friday?
Awesome.
And Saturday, R95 is going to be running a late one.
All right,
right,
cool.
On.
So right on. You got some other events going on right there. It's not just a Flames of War tournament, right?
We got.
Well, yes, it is just a Flames of War tournament.
The Flames of War tournament. some ancients. Maybe they're going to be doing a fog. Maybe running 3 NOM scenarios, which build some nice special terrain for it.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right, we're looking forward
to it, man.
So
we'll be looking to see all these guys on now.
Nice. We'll be there, man. We'll be there.
Yeah, it's in Williamsburg.
Williamsburg,
right?
Virginia, Patriot Hotel. And
it's like $50-some a night for a hotel, so guys, come on.
Seriously, Virginia's
like
awesome.
I live 45 minutes away, and I'm going to spend the night in a hotel.
Also, you don't have to do some crazy dance to get beer. What's up with Pennsylvania?
Yeah, no joke, huh?
You have to, like, what?
He had to knock over some Amish chick.
I mean, the guy literally told us, you just have to set it outside the door. It's like, all right, I'll buy this, set it outside the door, buy another one, set it outside the door. Pete, what you got, man? Go ahead.
I would like to say, in defense of this place, while it was a different gentleman who sold us the beer today, Sean and I, we definitely got 2 cases for free because of this place.
All right, that's pretty solid.
I do have to defend my home state. So.
All right, whatever. Pennsylvania sucks. Just kidding.
We've got,
it's no Virginia, but it doesn't suck.
That's how we roll, son.
All right,
we've
guys.
We've got Fallen coming in.
That's right.
Is Andy here? Andy Turlington?
Andy Turlington. Nope.
All right, so I'm going to talk for Andy real quick.
Other Andy.
Fallen's coming up on October 28th through the 30th, and I am just going to go ahead and speak for the I-95 gamers and tell you that there's going to be some kind of tournament there. It's going to be some kind of team tournament.
Yep.
And obviously it's, you know, 3 great days of gaming, and then Steve's going to have a baby. How about that?
Right after that.
That's it. That's right.
Yep. Look. Say what?
You're not even showing.
Yeah, well, that's because Sean's actually the surrogate.
Right.
All right, so on that morbid note, Guys, I think it's about time to wind down. So, guys, thank you, everyone, for showing up. And let's do this raffle. What do
Pete, you,
guys you
want to bring that box over here?
All right,
so
here we go.
The first. We got to give another shout out to MG42. We
yes,
just got to. We got to give another shout out to MG42, and we're gonna do the tanks first, right?
Ah, you want to do the tanks first?
Yep.
All right, man. You know what?
I'll hold it up high.
Let's Sean do the first one, man. Come on up here, buddy. All right, guys. This is for 5 Plastic Soldier Company Panzer IVs. This is painted by MG42. You can find them at MG42 Painting. Is it painting.com? MG42painting.com. Check it out. Here we go.
Dig in, Chief.
All right.
Come on out, Sean.
Get to the mic.
Let's see what we got here.
Mic.
Well, it's
mic,
folded.
Microphone. Microphone. Thanks.
Oh. It's Matt Federici.
Oh.
Our old
Matt
friend.
Oh!
Yeah!
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 Yeah! Woo! Stalin's organ! Nice.
I'm drawing casino. Now.
You're on casino.
Was I close?
Yeah, playing.
That's what I was doing.
All right, we'll shake it.
All right, here we go, guys. Next up, we have a JR Miniatures painted Monte Cassino Monastery. It's painted very delightfully. Here we go. Thank you, guys, again.
I'm going all the way. I'm reaching in there. I'm going to reach right around here.
Yeah, just reach around there.
All right, Miles. Right, Reedy? Righty?
We got Miles
here. Miles Reedy?
Oat, not here.
Miles R E I D Y.
That's no Miles. He's not here.
He's
sorry, Miles.
No, he's
sorry, Miles. Gotta be here. Sorry, buddy.
Could have been a winner.
Thing. Womp, womp, womp.
Yep. All right, take two.
Here we go. James Huff. Oh,
nice. Wow.
Paint my British, James Huff. Paint him. Paint him. You're getting a casino board. Paint my British.
This has got to be like the best day of your life, man.
They were. Wow. If you guys didn't see his stuff, it's awesome.
His reply was actually, "Are you serious?"
All right, guys, and this is it.
We did that action photo. Oh, I gotta.
This is the Polish train. This was donated by Battlefront, guys. This was.
Yeah.
This is the one we got back in Cold War.
That's right. This was painted by our own Brian Fuller. He's a connoisseur of ants and different insects.
The Aardvark.
All right, here we go, gentlemen.
All right.
Not that tall, man. All right. Oh, man, Luke Melio.
All right.
No,
just
guys.
Kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Mr. Craig Baxter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the way from Alaska to get a Polish train.
Now I have to get into early war.
That will get you into early war, right?
We just brought
there.
You in. Nice, congratulations. And we have a box for it. You can put it in. Hopefully, you can get it home. This man has to get it back to Alaska. All right.
The TSA is going to frisk him on that.
Yeah,
one.
The TSA is be like, what the hell is this?
We spent almost $1,000 here on miniatures. They're not going to blink at this.
All right, guys. I think that's it, man. Any closing thoughts?
We've just got to thank everyone. We just got to thank everybody. Thank you guys for making this happen.
Guys, thank you so much.
There's got to be at least 200 people in this room.
I think it's 400 people in this room.
And
anyone want to say anything before we close down, man? Before we turn off the lights? That you're very welcome for the beer, my friend.
All right, well, thank you, Battlefront. Thank you, HMGS. Thank you, Falcon Miniatures, MG42, the Hawks Miniatures Gaming Group.
All right, guys. Until next time.
RHQ.
All right, we're done. Guys, until next time, keep calm, carry on.
Thanks for listening to News from the Front. You can find us online at whatwouldpatentdo.net or drop us a line at wwpdpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and YouTube via the username wwpdpodcast or call us out at parties with, "Hey, handsome." No animals were harmed during the recording of this episode, except the pig who gave his delicious life to temporarily quench our eternal bacon hunger. All copyrighted material mentioned in the show is the sole property of their official copyright holders. Our superior opinions are ours and do not necessarily represent the views of the companies discussed. If you have a product, website, a new dance move you want reviewed, drop us a line and let us know. Thanks again for listening.